My name isn't on the slide, so I don't want to be a part of that.
Yeah, that's because I was supposed to present.
Good evening. I'd like to call to order the Tuesday, February 21st, 2012 meeting of the Carson City Parks and Recreation Commission. We begin with roll call and determination of quorum.
Chairperson
Moscow. Present.
Vice Chairperson Walt. Commissioner Adams.
Here.
Commissioner Broad.
Here.
Commissioner Curtis.
Here.
Commissioner Long.
Here.
Commissioner Lehman.
Here.
Commissioner Westergaard. Commissioner Wilson, a quorum is present.
Thank you. Before we begin the meeting, are there any citizen comments? Hearing and seeing none, we move to item number one, action on approval of the minutes. Do I have an action?
A second.
We have an action and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? So carried. Thank you. Item two, modifications to the agenda. Items on the agenda may be taken out of order. The public body may combine two or more agenda items for consideration, and the public body may remove an item from the agenda or delay discussion relating to an item on the agenda at any time. Note, items scheduled at a specific time cannot be heard earlier than the scheduled time per open meeting law requirements. No modifications to the agenda. Move to item three, staff updates. Item A, introduction of Brett Long, the new Parks and Recreation Commissioner. And several commissioners were just reappointed, and we had one new appointee, and that is Mr. Brett Long over here. And Brett, why don't you take a moment and introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about it yourself.
I'm Brett Long, and so I've lived in the area for about 11 years, and I have a lot of interests that utilize the Parks and Rec and the facilities that that Parks and Rec provide. So I've been kind of interested in being involved a little bit more and learning a little bit more about it. So I applied and got appointed to the position. Questions?
Well, welcome, and thank you for your interest, and appreciate it, and we look forward to working with you over the next few years. Any citizen comments? Hearing and seeing none, we move to item 3B. Yes, let the record show. Commissioner Walt has joined us. Item 3B, update regarding the purchase of the Bentley property. Mr. Guzman.
Mr. Chairman, it's a pleasure for me to be here today and talk to you about one of my favorite subjects, open space. What I'd like to do is to take you to a presentation that we prepared for the Carson Watershed Forum just not too long ago, and it covers the Bentley property. And we'll go ahead and quickly go through those slides that do not pertain to the Bentley property. So if you allow me, with that in hand, we're going to talk about the acquisition of the Bentley property, which is 497 acres. It's a fee title acquisition, meaning that we own the land. This is a map of the northwest area of 395, and we'll use this map when we're talking about the bicycle trail, and I'll come back to it as we need to. This is a blank slide. Will the record show that Mr. Westergaard also arrived? Tammy, hi. This is a map showing the ownerships along the east side of Highway 395. Beginning with Prison Hill, Ambrose Natural Area, and Silver Sour Ranch, which are shown in green, are the areas that Carson City will be transferred to Carson City as part of the lands bill. The areas in blue are the areas that we have purchased or that we already own, such as Riverview Park and Carson River Park and Riverview Park, located in here. The donation of the Bidler property, the trail out of Morgan Mill, and the Serpa acquisition into the canyon. So by this time, we're on the Enron Road, as well as the Enron Road and the bridge. Then we continue eastwards on the dirt road, past the Bird Technology plant, and continue on the road. And this is the location of the Bentley property. So as you can see, I like to refer to it as the last big piece of the puzzle in relation to this ownership along the Carson River. With this ownership, which again is almost 500 acres, we'll manage our 6,100 acres for open space in a contiguous park all along the Carson River. This is a close-up of the Serpa property adjacent to the Bentley property. This is one of the mill sites. The bridge abutment is in here, located in this area, for those of you that have traveled the area into Brunswick Canyon. And Bentley will commence from here on, going towards the boundary with Lyon County. We'll pass about the Serpa property, and we'll go into the Bentley property any day now, and the slides are not on. I wonder why. The Bentley property, it was purchased for $1.8 million. We incurred, well, $1.6 million to be exact. Mr. Bentley was kind enough to donate $200,000 out of the value of the land. The VNT also contributed by buying easements, and the total for what they purchased was $209,000. We were required to do three major studies. The appraisal contained three parts to it, or three addendums. The most significant one required a hypothetical review under the assumption that there is no access to the open space properties, and the value of the land was adjusted accordingly. And to that effect, we received a grant for $513,900 out of the PTNA, which stands for Park, Trails, and Natural Area. That is, in the future, one of your potential sources of money, and I don't know what I'm telling you this, so I guess because I want to share, meaning that the parks and all of Carson City can use this potential funding source for parks and recreation projects. It doesn't have to be along the river corridor by itself. The second large study was a Class 3 Cultural Resources Inventory that eventually will be approved by the Office of Historic Preservation, or the SHPO. And the significance of that is that the site used to contain mills, and those mills, many of the pieces left of those mills can still be encountered. So the area lends itself very much so for cultural interpretation and resource interpretation. The other significant part to understand about the cultural resources inventory is that we wanted to close escrow. However, the State Office of Historic Preservation was going to engage into a process that to approve our review that takes a considerable amount of time, and involves also an agreement on how Carson City will treat cultural resources from now on. So we bonded for that process and basically wrote a check for $25,000, or a bond for $24,000, I'm sorry, and that we'll get those money back once this review is completed. When we're dealing with these properties that have significant cultural resources, working with the State of Health Historic Preservation is going to be our new way of doing business, particularly with these sources of grant too. We also conducted a phase one and phase two environmental review. The phase two in particular was approved by the Nevada Department of Environmental Protection. The phase two refers to actual sampling of soils to be able to demonstrate that the land is not contaminated enough or to meet the threshold that will prohibit the use for public recreation. So we engage a private firm, Resources Concepts Incorporated, to help us out with that study. And we receive a letter from NDEP basically claiming pass go, green light. So that was very significant, very cool. We close escrow on January 31st of 2012, and let's see if by any miracle, no, the pictures never came back. So I apologize to you. I don't know why the pictures did not copy. With these acquisitions, some of the issues that we presently inherit are abandoned cars, camping and related trash, desert dumping, drug trafficking and illicit activity, and shooting. And there is a really strong culture of going to the river or that section of the canyon and shooting. And when it was private land and the property owner didn't mind, well, you know, there was no enforcement. However, now that is city property and it's treated as a park or as a public, as a place of public meeting, it's a, there's a term, a legal term. We are under the provisions of the Carson City Municipal Code, and one of our responsibilities is to enforce no shooting, and it has been tough. And it will continue to be tough for a while until our signs that say no shooting are stopping shooting, and then people can read them and understand that there should not be any shooting. One of our most important duties is to have presence in these areas to be able to get people to behave the way that we'll behave in any of our other parks. One of the way also in the long term that we propose to continue to be able to manage all these lands is through many partnerships with different organizations. As an example, the Kiwanis, one of the Kiwanis Club just agreed to be able to drive the area with a little placard saying open space volunteer or a hat that says open space volunteer. They want to be wearing their Kiwanis emblem also and just have a presence in the area. And then what they're supposed to do if there's a problem or if they see something is call the sheriff and the sheriff will enforce the law. So they're not there to engage people and get into trouble other than that just try to guide general public, you know, into the accepted behavior. We have an X over this one too. Some of the reasons for buy this open space include the significant environmental characteristics, the historical that I just talked, and just open space in general. Environmental involve the riparian zone. Some of the reasons why this is urgent is because these resources are being abused, or these resources are being lost to the misuse by the public at large. So we hope to change that trend. In the future, we do anticipate to be able to have the ability to provide for land trail systems in addition to the aquatic trail that will continue to serve this property. The purchase of this property favors the Carson River Master Plan, advances the Open Space Master Plan, the Parks and Recreation Master Plan, the Unified Pathway Master Plan, the Aquatic Trails in specific, and also is congruent with the Federal Lands Bill. And I think that was my last slide. This was a gorgeous picture that you are missing. I will just send them to you through email or some other way. I wanted to mention, too, about the Bentley property, one last thing, and that is that so we bonded for that process and basically wrote a check for $25,000 or a bond for $24,000, I'm sorry, and that we'll get those money back once this review is completed. When we're dealing with these properties that have significant cultural resources, working with the State of Health Historic Preservation is going to be our new way of doing business. and particularly with these sources of grant too. We also conducted a phase one and phase two environmental review. The phase two in particular was approved by the Nevada Department of Environmental Protection. The phase two refers to actual sampling of soils to be able to demonstrate that the land is not contaminated enough or to meet the threshold that will prohibit the use for public recreation. So we engage a private firm, Resources Concepts Incorporated, to help us out with that study. And we receive a letter from NDEP basically claiming pass go, green light. So that was very significant, very cool. We close escrow on January 31st of 2012, and let's see if by any miracle, no, the pictures never came back. So I apologize to you. I don't know why the pictures did not copy. With these acquisitions, some of the issues that we presently inherit are abandoned cars, camping and related trash, desert dumping, drug trafficking and illicit activity, and shooting. And there is a really strong culture of going to the river or that section of the canyon and shooting. And when it was private land and the property owner didn't mind, well, you know, there was no enforcement. However, now that is city property and it's treated as a park or as a public, as a place of public meeting, it's that there's a term, a legal term. We are under the provisions of the Carson City Municipal Code, and one of our responsibilities is to enforce no shooting, and it has been tough. And it will continue to be tough for a while until our signs that say no shooting are stopping shooting, and then people can read them and understand that there should not be any shooting. One of our most important duties is to have presence in these areas to be able to get people to behave the way that we'll behave in any of our other parks. One of the way also in the long term that we propose to continue to be able to manage all these lands is through many partnerships with different organizations. As an example, the Kiwanis, one of the Kiwanis club just agreed to be able to drive the area with a little placard saying open space volunteer or a hat that says open space volunteer. They want to be wearing their Kiwanis emblem also and just have a presence in the area. And then what they're supposed to do if there's a problem or if they see something is call the sheriff and the sheriff will enforce the law. So they're not there to engage people and get into trouble other than that just try to guide general public, you know, into the accepted behavior. We have an X over this one too. Some of the reasons for buy this open space include the significant environmental characteristics, the historical that I just talked, and just open space in general. Environmentally involved the riparian zone. Some of the reasons why this is urgent is because these resources are being abused, or these resources are being lost to the misuse by the public at large. So we hope to change that trend. In the future, we do anticipate to be able to have the ability to provide for land trail systems in addition to the aquatic trail that will continue to serve this property. The purchase of this property favors the Carson River Master Plan, advances the Open Space Master Plan, the Parks and Recreation Master Plan, the Unified Pathway Master Plan, the Aquatic Trails in specific, and also is congruent with the Federal Lands Bill. And I think that was my last slide. This was a gorgeous picture that you are missing. I will just send them to you through email or some other way. I wanted to mention, too, about the Bentley property, one last thing, and that is that we will be able to continue to have motorized access until the time that the VNT requires that access for building track. And there's not an anticipated date where that is going to happen. It's estimated anywhere from 2 to 5 years. So for a relatively short time or years, we'll be able to have the ability to continue to drive in on the main road like we are now. Once the VMT begins construction on the easement, then we will not be able to use that access, that motorized access. We'll have access through the social trails or any trails that we build and the aquatic trail. Any questions about the Bentley property?
Commissioner Curtis.
First of all, yes. To me, having been here a number of years, it looks like kind of a slow-going but for sure monopoly game. You know, we're acquiring more and more property. Does this complete the property that you wish to get along the river, or is there still more to come? And then the second question is the V&T still need to access any more easements to have the full terrain?
I love the way you worded your question, because give me the opportunity to to be really candid about this. What I wish to acquire doesn't have anything to do with reality. What I wish to acquire is filtered through your committee, the Carson River Advisory Committee, the Open Space Advisory Committee, and finally, the people who write the check, Molly Walt and her friends. So it just is what Carson City wants to acquire, you know, is the way to express it. And for the river portions, for the lands that are available on the river, there's one more piece in between Bentley and the boundary with Lyon County that may be important in the future to obtain motorized access from Lyon County into the Bentley property. Now, that is so advanced that it's difficult to talk about it. We approached that landowner years ago, and his response was that he owns over 100 acres on both counties. They're contiguous, and he would like to sell all as a piece so that there was nothing more to talk about until he will agree to sell only the Carson City part. And Brett, the reason for that is because the program and the ordinance that allows the program also allows for use of monies in Carson City. We cannot go and buy property in a different county. But eventually, you know, that's something to keep an eye on. And that's the last large piece, is over 100 acres in Carson City. That will be important. And then, and now I talk so much, so I forgot your second question. Oh, the V&T. The V&T has obtained easements on the BLM lands in between Lyon County and Carson City, all except the Bertagnoli property. Would it be better if I find the map, the large map, or are you guys following me?
No, find the large map.
All right, so let me find the large map. Wake up, Liderato, here we go. So the V&T, through this purchase, obtained the rights through an easement to this edge. In a prior transaction with Mr. Serpa, the V&T reserved the right to buy from Mr. Serpa directly an easement on this portion. When the ownership comes into this area, the V&T does not follow the existing road and begins to climb up the hill on the way to Highway 50 location. When they do that, they need to do a transaction with Mr. Bertagnoli. So that portion of the right-of-way that the V&T will need is not completed. We will be able to continue to have motorized access until the time that the V&T requires that access for building track. And there's not an anticipated date where that is going to happen. It's estimated anywhere from 2 to 5 years. So for a relatively short time or years, we'll be able to have the ability to continue to drive in on the main road like we are now. Once the VMT begins construction on the easement, then we will not be able to use that access, that motorized access. We'll have access through the social trails or the, any trails that we build and the aquatic trail. Any questions about the Bentley property?
Commissioner Curtis.
First of all, yes. To me, having been here a number of years, it looks like kind of a slow-going but for sure monopoly game. You know, we're acquiring more and more property. Does this complete the property that you wish to get along the river, or is there still more to come? And then the second question is the V&T still need to access any more easements to have the full train?
I love the way you worded your question, because it gave me the opportunity to to be really candid about this. What I wish to acquire doesn't have anything to do with reality. What I wish to acquire is filtered through your committee, the Carson River Advisory Committee, the Open Space Advisory Committee, and finally, the people who write the check, Molly Walt and her friends. So it just is what the Carson City wants to acquire, you know, is the way to express it. And for the river portions, for the lands that are available on the river, there's one more piece in between Bentley and the boundary with Lyon County that may be important in the future to obtain motorized access from Lyon County into the Bentley property. Now, that is so advanced that it's difficult to talk about it. We approached that landowner years ago, and his response was that he owns over 100 acres on both counties. They're contiguous, and he would like to sell all as a piece so that there was nothing more to talk about until he will agree to sell only the Carson City part. And Brett, the reason for that is because the program and the ordinance that allows the program also allows for use of monies in Carson City. We cannot go and buy property in a different county. But eventually, you know, that's something to keep an eye on. And that's the last large piece, is over 100 acres in Carson City. That will be important. And then, and now I talk so much, so I forgot your second question. Oh, the V&T. The V&T has obtained easements on the BLM lands in between Lyon County and Carson City, all except the Bertagnoli property. Would it be better if I find the map, the large map, or are you guys following me?
No, find the large map.
All right, so let me find the large map. Wake up, Liderado, here we go. So the V&T, through this purchase, obtained the rights through an easement to this edge. In a prior transaction with Mr. Serpa, the V&T reserved the right to buy from Mr. Serpa directly an easement on this portion. When the ownership comes into this area, the V&T does not follow the existing road and begins to climb up the hill on the way to Highway 50 location. When they do that, they need to do a transaction with Mr. Bertagnoli. So that portion of the right-of-way that the V&T will need is not completed. What the V&T intends to do, according to the things that, to the plans they have shared with us, is to have a turnaround point by doing a round track in this portion of the Serpa property so they can turn around and go back to the place where they have the temporary location for a station, which is around this vicinity, just outside the map. So all the other litter pieces of right away, including this one here, in between the two properties, they have obtained. Any other questions?
Commissioner Brode?
Yeah, I just had a question on the jurisdiction of the property. Is it just the sheriff's office that you would call if there was any problems if you're on that property?
We wanted to buy Vern a big, you know, shell and put it on his shoulder, but the boss won't let me. Yes, for law, first of all, if there's an emergency, such as a fire, or you see a crime being committed, you call 911. And in some cases, it doesn't work in parts of the canyon. So you may have to drive to a place where you have reception. If what we anticipate is we have a ranger. He takes, among many other duties, you know, he does, tries to pick up the time where he expects to find the most people, which is normally in the afternoons, and drive the route and comes back out. And that's the way we're enforcing it. It's the same. He would not enforce illegal action. He will enforce he will approach shooters or people shooting and tell them of the regulations, but he has been instructed not to confront. You know, his job is not to do that. It's just to de-escalate a situation, not to escalate a situation. And that's, we expect to do enforcement like that for a very long time, unfortunately. Because there is no ways of we being able to obtain and pay for authorized people with authorization to issue citations and carry a fire weapon and, you know, enforce the law. Hopefully that almost answered the questions, even if it's not totally what you want to hear, is the candid answer.
Yeah.
Boss, did I forget anything about that? No, pretty much covered.
The only thing I would add, and Juan did discuss this, but just to be a little bit more specific, the interest that the SNPLMA, the Southern Nevada Public Lands Management Act, that program, had in this property and their subgroup, the PTNA, the Parks, Trails, Natural Areas, the reason we got the grant was primarily that they saw this property as key property for passive recreation. They have another program that buys open space and preserves certain, pretty much wildlands, but this property actually fell under the Parks, Trails, Natural Area because of its outdoor recreation, passive recreation potential.
And that means in the future we'll be doing some improvements that will allow that, and they anticipate we applying for monies to do that, so that was great. And when you also to understand that the environment down there, it's not necessarily the most friendly because you have the Johnny-come-lately out of the northern end of the state, and the monies generated for this program are all from southern Nevada. So they cringe when our projects go up. Any other questions, comments?
Commissioner Wald.
So, you know, as this was presented to the board, it's my understanding now a large part of the time and the money from open space now is going to be geared towards the maintenance of all of our properties and the maintenance of the trails, fire maintenance, and all of that, correct?
Did Chelia didn't put you up to that? Yes. Now you can think of that on your own. Yes, that is true. Supervisor Watt is reminding me that consistently, particularly the last two acquisitions, the SERPA and this one, the board reminds me that there's some point in time when enough is enough, and we need to divert our attention towards the management of properties as opposed to buying more property. And the boss reminds me of that every 15 minutes, so there's no doubt in my mind.
But no, congratulations, though. This was
thank you.
This was a long time.
He intends to do, according to the things, to the plans they have shared with us, is to have a turnaround point by doing a round track in this portion of the SERPA property so they can turn around and go back to the place where they have the temporary location for a station, which is around this vicinity, just outside the map. So all the other little pieces of right-of-way, including this one here, in between the two properties, they have obtained. Any other questions?
Commissioner Brode?
Yeah, I just had a question on the jurisdiction of the property. Is it just the sheriff's office that you would call if there was any problems if you're on that property?
We wanted to buy Vern a big, you know, shell and put it on his shoulder, but the boss won't let me. Yes, for law, first of all, if there's an emergency, such as a fire, or you see a crime being committed, you call 911. And in some cases, it doesn't work in parts of the canyon. So you may have to drive to a place where you have reception. If what we anticipate is we have a ranger. He takes, among many other duties, you know, he does, tries to pick up the time where he expects to find the most people, which is normally in the afternoons, and drive the route and comes back out. And that's the way we're enforcing it. It's the same. He would not enforce illegal action. He will enforce he will approach shooters or people shooting and tell them of their regulations, but he has been instructed not to confront. You know, his job is not to do that. It's just to de-escalate a situation, not to escalate a situation. And that's, we expect to do enforcement like that for a very long time, unfortunately. Because there is no ways of we being able to obtain and pay for authorized people with authorization to issue citations and carry a fire weapon and, you know, enforce the law. Hopefully that almost answered the questions, even if it's not totally what you want to hear, is the candid answer.
Yeah.
Boss, did I forget anything about that? No, pretty much covered.
The only thing I would add, and Juan did discuss this, but just to be a little bit more specific, the interest that the SNPLMA, the Southern Nevada Public Lands Management Act, that program, had in this property and their subgroup, the PTNA, the Parks, Trails, Natural Areas, the reason we got the grant was primarily that they saw this property as key property for passive recreation. They have another program that buys open space and preserves certain, pretty much wildlands, but this property actually fell under the Parks, Trails, Natural Area because of its outdoor recreation, passive recreation potential.
And that means in the future we'll be doing some improvements that will allow that, and they anticipate we applying for monies to do that, so that was great. And when you also to understand that the environment down there, it's not necessarily the most friendly because you have the Johnny-come-lately out of the northern end of the state, and the monies generated for this program are all from southern Nevada. So they cringe when our projects go up. Any other questions, comments?
Commissioner Wald.
So, you know, as this was presented to the board, it's my understanding now a large part of the time and the money from open space now is going to be geared towards the maintenance of all of our properties and the maintenance of the trails, fire maintenance, and all of that, correct?
Did Chelia didn't put you up to that? Yes. Now you can think of that on your own. Yes, that is true. Supervisor Watt is reminding me that consistently, particularly the last two acquisitions, the SERPA and this one, the board reminds me that there's some point in time when enough is enough, and we need to divert our attention towards the management of properties as opposed to buying more property. And the boss reminds me of that every 15 minutes, so there's no doubt in my mind.
But no, congratulations, though. This was
thank you.
This was a long time coming. And congratulations on the purchase of this. I don't, by no means do I want to divert that towards the management of it, as well as that is important. But I know you put a lot of time and effort into this, all of you did. and there is a huge congratulations on doing this piece of property.
Thank you.
You know, if I could add one more comment, I liked Commissioner Curtis's analogy of a slowly developing Monopoly game, but I think this was probably, and Juan would probably agree to this, one of the more complicated acquisitions we've ever had. So I think a better analogy is more like that Risk board game where you have armies and battles, you know. I think that's probably a more appropriate analogy. But got a hand to Juan. He stuck through it, and his perseverance made this happen. So.
Well, I don't know. People may put it, do not enter in Clark County, San Francisco.
Any other commissioner comments? Any citizen comments on the Bentley property? Let me just add my congratulations to everyone involved. That is an important link in our system, and well done to everyone involved. Congratulations. We now move to item 3C, the update regarding the Kings Canyon to Ash Canyon Trail project.
It is my pleasure to tell you that we are under the scoping session, and that means that the Forest Service is doing the, continues to do the NEPA process. And as a matter of fact, next Monday night at 6 o'clock, as part of the proceedings of the Open Space Advisory Committee meeting, there will be a session dedicated to take public testimony on this project that will be directly translated or transferred to the NEPA process. What? Oh, yeah, gloves. Okay. So we are now on Ash Canyon Road and Ash Canyon. Can you see that? No, you cannot see that. Let me get a pointer. Here are the water tanks. This squiggly line is Ash Canyon Road. From here, from the water tanks to the point where the trail begins, well, if you're in my legs and my body, it seems like miles and miles and miles. If you're Johnny's broad, it's just probably about a mile, maybe even less than that. Any residential use, existing residential use, is at least a mile, mile and a half from this trail, the proposed trail. The areas in blue, again, are owned by Carson City, and this is post-transfers with the Forest Service, so this is the way it is. The areas in green are owned by the Forest Service and are the areas subject to the NEPA process. So the trail takes off from an existing single-track trail and continues south and then rounds this hill in order to capture views and in order to climb to this point, which is higher here than down there. It's along across mid-slope, so it's a steep slope, and these allow for the trail to gradually climb out. Continues along the contour on its general direction, traveling south, enters Forest Service land. By the way, one of the main people designing this trail is Jeff Porter. And Jeff has an incredible ability to pick up good sites. Whenever you get to points on the trail, the views are just open up, and it's just magnificent. It's worth all the sweat that you put in getting there. From there, the trail continues again on Forest Service land. And there's a little loop, or it was originally planned in a little loop, because if you see this polygon or this area in dark gray, dull gray, as opposed to green, it's because the land is private. The Forest Service was engaging a program to purchase that land, that piece, and this piece down here, and a little bit in here. The funds that for this piece and that piece where.
And congratulations on the purchase of this. I don't, by no means do I want to divert that towards the management of it, as well as that is important. But I know you put a lot of time and effort into this, all of you did, and there is a huge congratulations on doing this piece of property.
Thank you.
You know, if I could add one more comment, I liked Commissioner Curtis's analogy of a slowly developing Monopoly game, but I think this was probably, and Juan would probably agree to this, one of the more complicated acquisitions we've ever had. So I think a better analogy is more like that Risk board game where you have armies and battles, you know. I think that's probably a more appropriate analogy. But got a hand to Juan. He stuck through it, and his perseverance made this happen. So.
People may put it, do not enter in Clark County, San Francisco.
Any other commissioner comments? Any citizen comments on the Bentley property? Let me just add my congratulations to everyone involved. That is an important link in our system, and well done to everyone involved. Congratulations. We now move to item 3C, the update regarding the Kings Canyon to Ash Canyon Trail project.
It is my pleasure to tell you that we are under the scoping session, and that means that the Forest Service is doing the continues to do the NEPA process. And as a matter of fact, next Monday night at 6 o'clock, as part of the proceedings of the Open Space Advisory Committee meeting, there will be a session dedicated to take public testimony on this project that will be directly translated or transferred to the NEPA process. What? Oh, yeah, gloves. Okay. So we are now on Ash Canyon Road and Ash Canyon. Can you see that? No, you cannot see that. Let me get a pointer. Here are the water tanks. This squiggly line is Ash Canyon Road. From here, from the water tanks to the point where the trail begins, well, if you're in my legs and my body, it seems like miles and miles and miles. If you're Johnny's broad, it's just probably about a mile, maybe even less than that. Any residential use, existing residential use, is at least a mile, mile and a half from this trail, the proposed trail. The areas in blue, again, are owned by Carson City, and this is post-transfers with the Forest Service, so this is the way it is. The areas in green are owned by the Forest Service and are the areas subject to the NEPA process. So the trail takes off from an existing single-track trail and continues south, and then rounds this hill in order to capture views and in order to climb to this point, which is higher here than down there. It's along across mid-slope, so it's a steep slope, and these allow for the trail to gradually climb out. Continues along the contour on its general direction, traveling south, enters Forest Service land. By the way, one of the main people designing this trail is Jeff Potter. And Jeff has an incredible ability to pick up good sites. Whenever you get to points on the trail, the views are just open up, and it's just magnificent. It's worth all the sweat that you put in getting there. From there, the trail continues again on Forest Service land. And there's a little loop, or it was originally planned in a little loop, because if you see this polygon or this area in dark gray, dull gray, as opposed to green, it's because the land is private. The Forest Service was engaging a program to purchase that land, that piece, and this piece down here, and a little bit in here. The funds that for this piece and that piece were moved by Congress to another program, so they pulled the rug under their feet, literally. And they're waiting for those programs to be monies to be placed back. They do have monies for this one, however, that doesn't help a whole bunch. So in combination with Jeff and the Forest Service, we agree on a route that avoids all of the private ownerships, because it appears there's a good chance that these lands will still be private by the time that we can build trail in there. As we move to the south, the trail continues past, we call this the long piece, or well, it's Mr. Long is the owner there, about 200 acres. This is the alternate route away from the private lands. At this point, right where that little guy symbol is, the trail crosses an existing road. And then the road is being proposed to continue to be used as the main way for the trail for a little ways, until again it takes off and continues all the way off cross country away from any existing roads. There's a little waterfall in here. There are just incredible views in here. This area around the center of the trail is the highest elevation point and have commanding views of all of Carson City, very, very beautiful. Even when there are some trees in the vicinity that were scorched as part of the fire, they did not burn to the ground. There are still some existing shade. The trails pretty much in this section is sagebrush in here and sagebrush in here. But then, way at the beginning, I'm sorry, a majority of this is right in between the tree line, in and out of the tree line, and the views are just incredible in relation to town. Just to give you the either point of the origin or termination, as you may want to, the south point of the trail, this is Kings Canyon Road, and this is where the pavement ends on Kings Canyon Road, just in there. So I will apply the same logic. For me, from here to this point in a bicycle is forever. For Janice, it's just, you know, walking the park. And for Bern, never mind, you know. I've been waiting for weeks for him. No, actually, that's what happened with me when I went with Jeff. He was waiting for me. He said, well, are you alive? Do I have to call an ambulance on you? I said, well, you may have to. It took us about 3 days to walk the entire thing, three different occasions, because right now there's no trail, so you need to do it cross-country. Jeff can follow it through GPS and other means. He just knows the area like his backhand. So what are we doing? So because it's a large portion of the trail is in the Forest Service land, is subject to NEPA. We're going through the NEPA process, and specific the step right now is scoping. That will end in, I don't know how many days. When that ends, is relatively soon. All the comments will be reviewed, and the expectation is that the ranger will be able to sign what is called a categorical exclusion, as opposed to having to write any kind of study for the trail. And it looks, so far, it looks that that's the way it's going to go, because nobody has submitted any comments or have made any comment at any public hearing that about a resource being jeopardized through the use of this trail. As a matter of fact, we even have a letter of support from Chief Giammi. We anticipate that this will be built through muscle power. And once it's built, there will be the main body of maintenance as well. So the agreements to that are being put in place. And there has been a snag. It refers to workman comps and some other provisions of how are we going to work through that. We anticipate to be able to work through that and, again, present to the Board of Supervisors an agreement to be able to work with to muscle power in a more formalized basis. Because it is through move by Congress to another program, so they pull the rug under their feet, literally. And they're waiting for those programs to be monies to be placed back. They do have monies for this one, however, that doesn't help a whole bunch. So in combination with Jeff and the Forest Service, we agree on a route that avoids all of the private ownerships, because it appears there's a good chance that these lands will still be private by the time that we can build trail in there. As we move to the south, the trail continues past, we call this the long piece, or well, it's Mr. Long is the owner there, about 200 acres. This is the alternate route away from the private lands. At this point, right where that little guy symbol is, the trail crosses an existing road. And then the road is being proposed to continue to be used as the main way for the trail for a little ways, until again it takes off and continues all the way off cross country away from any existing roads. There's a little waterfall in here. There are just incredible views in here. This area around the center of the trail is the highest elevation point and have commanding views of all of Carson City, very, very beautiful. Even when there are some trees in the vicinity that were scorched as part of the fire, they did not burn to the ground. There are still some existing shade. The trails pretty much in this section is sagebrush in here and sagebrush in here. But then, way at the beginning, I'm sorry, a majority of this is right in between the tree line, in and out of the tree line, and the views are just incredible in relation to town. Just to give you the either point of the origin or termination, as you may want to, the south point of the trail, this is Kings Canyon Road, and this is where the pavement ends on Kings Canyon Road, just in there. So I will apply the same logic. For me, from here to this point in a bicycle is forever. For Janice, it's just, you know, walking the park. And for Bern, never mind, you know. I've been waiting for weeks for him. No, actually, that's what happened with me when I went with Jeff. He was waiting for me. He said, well, are you alive? Do I have to call an ambulance on you? I said, well, you may have to. It took us about 3 days to walk the entire thing, three different occasions, because right now there is no trail, so you need to do it cross-country. Jeff can follow it through GPS and other means. He just knows the area like his backhand. So what are we doing? So because it's a large portion of the trail is in the Forest Service land, is subject to NEPA. We're going through the NEPA process, and specific the step right now is scoping. That will end in, I don't know how many days. When that ends, is relatively soon. All the comments will be reviewed, and the expectation is that the ranger will be able to sign what is called a categorical exclusion, as opposed to having to write any kind of study for the trail. And it looks, so far, it looks that that's the way it's going to go, because nobody has submitted any comments or have made any comment at any public hearing that about a resource being jeopardized through the use of this trail. As a matter of fact, we even have a letter of support from Chief Giammi. We anticipate that this will be built through muscle power. And once it's built, there will be the main body of maintenance as well. So the agreements to that are being put in place. And there has been a snag. It refers to workman comps and some other provisions of how are we going to work through that. We anticipate to be able to work through that and, again, present to the Board of Supervisors an agreement to be able to work with to muscle power in a more formalized basis. Because it is through voluntary work. Jeff thinks that it can take as long as 5 years to complete the first trail. if we find opportunities through grants to motor, to mechanize, to use mechanized equipment in some portions of the trail, we will. But at this point, we don't have any source of funding to do that. Open Space have committed originally $5,000 towards the purchase of equipment towards a grant, and that was Molly, the meeting where they were giving money, where the board was considering the request for grants. And I was innocently sitting in the audience, and the board approached me and said, do you have any objections to granting Muscle Power some money, and what are you going to say? No, so that was oh brother. So anyhow, we say yes, and then in addition to that, also we set aside about $10,000. So around $15,000 have been set aside. I'd be remiss if I don't tell you that Bittler Water Company, they have on staff cultural resources PhD kind of guy, and he walked the entire route and found and wrote his report. And there are no cultural resources that are being jeopardized by this trail. By the same token, with the team, with Anne, our cultural resources specialist, natural resources specialist, and the Forest Service team of botanists, they also work looking for threatened and endangered and weird stuff in the plants, and they couldn't find anything also that will prevent the proposed route. So far, so good. Any comments, questions? Yeah.
Commissioner Lehman.
Yeah, I'm just curious. You pointed out the two areas where there's private landowners. Are those landowners agreeable to having the trail on their land, assuming it can't be acquired?
We, I was in charge of writing a letter to them, and they never responded, so I think that was a no. However, one of them, we have sort of a relationship. So I anticipate to be able to talk to him, and if that were to change, if his position were, the Forest Service studied the road as to ownership. The Forest Service standard is higher than ours. They need what is called, the road has to be adjudicated, and that is a legal process by which is demonstrated without any doubt, you know, that the Forest Service will have a claim to that road, and that hasn't happened. And that will take years to happen. So therefore, it was easier to avoid that road than to put the trail on their land.
And this is just out of curiosity, but how do these private landowners get a little island of private land that's not developable up in the middle of the national forest? How?
Yeah. Good question.
Okay, I just wonder.
One of them, before you go to it, I wanted to let everybody know this, that is a mining pad, the premier mining pad, and it's signed by no other than Ulysses Grant. And it just gave me the chills when I was reviewing the documents. And wow, this is really cool. And that is the Charles family, and they're willing to sell to the Forest Service, but again, you know, we'll take a little bit of time. I'm sorry, Todd.
I don't believe you mentioned the public meeting we had last week.
Oh, no, I haven't.
Okay.
One of the reasons you'll find islands like that, and I don't know if this is the case up there, but it's grazing.
Yeah.
People would have picked up long time ago property in those areas for grazing.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, with this piece, with the long piece, which is that one there. That big gray polygon in there. That one, they used to have a run where the Lone Ranch, where Dana lives, subdivision is, that used to be their main ranch. And then at certain times during the season, they will graze and bring cattle all the way up to that upper pasture, particularly late in the summer. That piece is just awesome. But Molly, I'm not insinuating that nothing. It's just awesome.
I mean, it is something that we have to keep in mind, is that with that, the management and the maintenance, and also I do think that once you've acquired it, in order to enjoy it, you have to have the trails.
The work, Jeff things that it can take as long as 5 years to complete the Ferris Trail. If we find opportunities through grants to use mechanized equipment in some portions of the trail, we will. But at this point, we don't have any source of funding to do that. Open Space have committed originally $5,000 towards the purchase of equipment towards a grant, and that was Molly, the meeting where they were giving money, where the board was considering the request for grants. And I was innocently sitting in the audience, and the board approached me and said, do you have any objections to granting Muscle Power some money? And what are you going to say? Heck no. So that was, brother. So anyhow, we say yes. And then in addition to that, also we set aside about $10,000. So around $15,000 have been set aside. I'd be remiss if I don't tell you that Bittler Water Company, they have on staff cultural resources PhD kind of guy, and he walked the entire route and found and wrote his report, and there are no cultural resources that are being jeopardized by this trail. By the same token, with the team, with Anne, our cultural resources specialist, natural resources specialist, and the Forest Service team of botanists, they also work looking for threatened and endangered and weird stuff in the plants, and they couldn't find anything also that will prevent the proposed route. So far, so good. Any comments, questions? Yeah.
Commissioner Lehman.
Yeah, I'm just curious. You pointed out the two areas where there's private landowners. Are those landowners agreeable to having the trail on their land, assuming it can't be acquired?
I was in charge of writing a letter to them, and they never responded, so I think that is a no. However, one of them, we have sort of a relationship, so I anticipate to be able to talk to him, and if that were to change, if his position were, the Forest Service studied the road as to ownership, the Forest Service standard is higher than ours. They need what is called, the road has to be adjudicated, and that is a legal process by which is demonstrated without any doubt, you know, that the Forest Service will have a claim to that road. And that hasn't happened, and that will take years to happen. So therefore, it was easier to avoid that road than to put the trail on their land.
And this is just out of curiosity, but how do these private landowners get a little island of private land that's not developable up in the middle of the national forest? How?
Yeah. Good question.
Okay, I just wondered.
One of them, before you go to it, I wanted to let everybody know this, that is a mining pad, the premier mining pad, and it's signed by no other than Ulysses Grant. And he just gave me the chills when I was reviewing the documents, and wow, this is really cool. And that is the Charles family. And they're willing to sell to the Forest Service, but again, you know, we'll take a little bit of time. I'm sorry, Todd.
Juan, I don't believe you mentioned the public meeting we had last week.
Oh, no, I haven't.
Okay.
One of the reasons you'll find islands like that, and I don't know if this is the case up there, but it's grazing.
Yeah.
People would have picked up a long time ago property in those areas for grazing.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, with this piece, with the long piece, which is that one there, that big gray polygon in there, that one, they used to have a run where the Long Ranch, where Dana lives, subdivision is, that used to be their main ranch, and then at certain times during the season, they will graze and bring cattle all the way up to that upper pasture, particularly late in the summer. That piece is just awesome. But Molly, I'm not insinuating that, nothing. It's just awesome.
I mean, it is something that we have to keep in mind. Is it with that, the management and the maintenance, and also I do think that once you've acquired it, in order to enjoy it, you have to have the trails.
Right.
So you know that as well. as well as I'm a component that I do think some of the open space money should be used to develop trails.
Yes.
I do.
Very good.
Any other comments? Commissioner Brode.
Yeah, I just wanted to mention some potential funding for the trails. Last year, Muscle Powered applied for Bikes Belong. It's a $10,000 grant, and they really liked the application. We put together a really good one, but they didn't have the money to fund it. And typically, Bikes Belong says, if we don't fund you, don't reapply. They make that a point. But they contacted Muscle Powered and said, reapply. So they're reapplying. So I think it's a good sign that it might get funded. So if they do get the $10,000, they could use that towards hiring a trail crew, Nevada Conservation Corps, and hopefully it wouldn't take 5 years. It would take a lot less.
Right. Another opportunity that we have become aware is that some of the conservation groups need training, and we have the best cooling in the world to offer to them. We have on one of our consultants is Mark Kimbrough. Mark is our expert in terms of developing trails. So he also is always on the lookout for opportunities with whoever to build trail. This is a picture of when we went to this Shannon and, I forgot her name, and she's going to go there. Terry, yes. And this is the road that we're talking about, and it's just before it becomes private, the section that is still public. So, and that's Jeff. So you get a sense of how the land looks. And Bernd, you were right, I'm talking forever. This is one of the crossings. Can you kill the light a little bit?
You know, Juan, would you mention, just for everybody, I guess, watching it or in here, that Jeff is not a city employee.
Oh, no. I just treated him like one, but he's not at all. Actually, I treated him worse than one. Yeah, Jeff is a volunteer, and he's passionate about trails, and not only is he passionate about trails, but he's passionate about doing it right. He's passionate about the sustainability of the trails, and as a matter of fact, he has so much enthusiasm that he convinced Anne and I and others in the department to go to seminars, and he put us to build trails so we can learn with our organizations. And he managed to figure out how to coordinate our efforts with the Carson Valley Trails, with the Rim Trail, with Reno Potlucks. It's just amazing that what he brings to the table. So we do need to find a way to figure out this contract with Muscle Power to be able to accept their work as volunteers and move forward. Again, just give you a sense of the remoteness and how attractive the area is. And come on, come into focus. Yeah, here we go. Close up of crossing the creek. And more or less in there will be a crossing. Okay, come on. These are very large files, and that's why it takes so long for the machine to load them up. Or at least that's my reason. yeah. This is what I was telling you about, that when the trail comes out of the trees, you have these incredible views of areas of Carson City, and you don't mind that you sweated so much to get there, at least for a few minutes, that you start sweating again. It's to the south, towards Sea Hill, on the south area of Carson City. Jeff has a knack. He has just the ability to take you to the right spots, and he has walk them all. Anyhow, any other questions, comments? If not, thank you very much for your attention, and I'm sorry for having abused your time. So, as you can tell, you cannot get me quiet once you get me talking about these things.
Did you want to mention about the public meeting that was held on the...
Yes, we held a public hearing, it seems like years ago. It was last Tuesday? Wednesday. Again, it seems like years ago. A week ago Monday, we have about 70 people, Molly. Oh, and it just makes me proud to let you know that my boss comments. Okay.
So you know that as well as I'm a component that I do think some of the open space monies should be used to develop trails.
Yes.
I do.
Very good.
Any other comments? Commissioner Brode.
Yeah, I just wanted to mention some potential funding for the trails. Last year, Muscle Powered applied for Bikes Belong. It's a $10,000 grant, and they really liked the application. We put together a really good one, but they didn't have the money to fund it. And typically, Bikes Belong says, if we don't fund you, don't reapply. They make that a point. But they contacted Muscle Powered and said, reapply. So they're reapplying. So I think it's a good sign that it might get funded. So if they do get the $10,000, they could use that towards hiring a trail crew, Nevada Conservation Corps, and hopefully it wouldn't take 5 years. It would take a lot less.
Right. Another opportunity that we have become aware is that some of the conservation groups need training, and we have the best cooling in the world to offer to them. We have on one of our consultants is Mark Kimbrough. Mark is our expert in terms of developing trails. So he also is always on the lookout for opportunities with whoever to build trail. This is a picture of when we went to this Shannon and, I forgot her name, and she's going to go to Terry, yes. And and this is the road that we're talking about, and it's just before it becomes private, the section that is still public. So, and that's Jeff. So you get a sense of how the land looks. And Bernd, you were right, I'm talking forever. This is one of the crossings. Can you kill the light a little bit?
You know, Juan, would you mention, just for everybody, I guess, watching it or in here, that Jeff is not a city employee.
Oh, no. I just treat him like one, but he's not at all. Actually, I treat him worse than one. Yeah, Jeff is a volunteer, and he's passionate about trails, and not only is he passionate about trails, but he's passionate about doing it right. He's passionate about the sustainability of the trails, and as a matter of fact, he has so much enthusiasm that he convinced Anne and I and others in the department to go to seminars, and he put us to build trails so we can learn with our organizations. And he managed to figure out how to coordinate our efforts with the Carson Valley Trails, with the Rim Trail, with Reno Potlucks. It's just amazing that what he brings to the table. So we do need to find a way to figure out this contract with Muscle Power to be able to accept their work as volunteers and move forward. Again, just give you a sense of the remoteness and how attractive the area is. And come on, come into focus. Yeah, here we go. Close up of crossing the creek. And more or less in there will be a crossing. Okay, come on. These are very large files, and that's why it takes so long for the machine to load them up. Or at least that's my reason. yeah. This is what I was telling you about, that when the trail comes out of the trees, you have these incredible views of areas of Carson City, and you don't mind that you sweated so much to get there, at least for a few minutes, that you start sweating again. It's to the south, towards Sea Hill, on the south area of Carson City. Jeff has a knack. He has just the ability to take you to the right spots, and he has walk them all. Anyhow, any other questions, comments? If not, thank you very much for your attention, and I'm sorry for having abused your time. So, as you can tell, you cannot get me quiet once you get me talking about these things.
Did you want to mention about the public meeting that was held on the...
Yes, we held a public hearing, it seems like years ago. It was last Tuesday? Wednesday. Again, it seems like years ago. A week ago Monday, we have about 70 people, Molly, oh, and it just makes me proud to let you know that my boss comments, okay, we have these hearings for freeway, we have these hearings for the city project downtown, we have these hearings, and we rarely get 70 people. How come we can get 70 people interested in trails? And I go, I don't know, but I love it. It's great, and particularly since all of them, or just about the majority of them, appear to be in favor of the trail, and that's why they were there. So it was awesome. That was the first meeting from the Forest Service on the scoping process that is part of the NEPA process. If nothing else, thank you very much.
Any other commissioner comments? Any public comments? Thank you. We now move to item 3D, update regarding the Lakeview Park Trailhead and Carson River Park Phase 2 projects. Mr. Cron.
Hello. For the record, Vern Cron, I'm the park planner. I just wanted to share with you two projects that we've just completed this late fall, early winter, and we are in the final processes of kind of tidying those two things up. Carson River Park, a project we reopened again. We closed the park in the fall for the construction of some of the improvements that we were looking at down there. And sometime mid-January, we opened it back up to the public with the only thing remaining, the picnic shelter. The picnic shelter arrived today, and they've been able to, in one day, get the frame erected. And tomorrow, if things go well, the roof goes on. So we're really excited to be able to have that available for the public this spring and for the start of our aquatic trail system again this year. The other thing was, that's going on. We're excited about that. The plan is to have a ribbon cutting ceremony this spring. We'll keep you posted on when that is, but the direction I've received from Roger is we have to, despite how excited staff is right now, we don't want to do that in February or March because we could get snowed on, and Roger prefers not to have ribbon-cutting ceremonies in the middle of a snowstorm. So as soon as it greens up down there and starts to look real nice and we get the cows back and cows around and other things done, we'll be getting a ribbon-cutting ceremony going down there. Probably realistically April or May is probably when we'll be looking at that. Then the other thing that we'd like to announce is we also we were in the process, thanks to the fine folks over at the Public Works Department, they helped us, along with Nevada All-State Trail Riders, to put together our facility up at Lakeview Park. That is completed. You will see in the picture that I copied and handed out for you a gate. That gate has now been removed. Actually, we relocated that gate somewhere else. So waste not, want not. And what's that? Recycle. It is now open. The only thing left up at the Lakeview Trailhead to complete that project is a little revegetation effort and a kiosk. And right now the Nevada All-State Trail Riders are looking at helping us with the cost of purchasing that kiosk. So anyway, two projects we completed very late fall, early winter. They're done now, open to the public, and we're excited that these amenities will be used this spring by folks. Any questions? Very good.
Thank you. Are there any citizen comments on the Lakeview Park Trailhead or the Carson River Park Phase 2? Thank you. We now move to item number 4, meeting items. Item A, to elect a chairperson and vice chairperson of the Parks and Recreation Commission for 2012.
Okay, I guess I'll kick this off. In accordance with the Commission's Park and Recreation, or the Park and Recreation Commission's bylaws, the first regular meeting of the year, you're supposed to elect a chair and a vice chair. So I guess with that, I'll turn it over to the Commission, and you can deliberate on how you want to do that.
Well, I guess we should just put out a call for nominations for start. Are there any nominations for the chair for 2012?
I just have a quick question.
Yes, sir.
How long have the current chair and vice chair been in their position?
1 year. Each year is a 1 year term.
And okay. And
I was vice chair in 2010, and chair in 2011. Are there any nominations for chair? Commissioner Westergaard.
I'd nominate Molly Wall for chair, if she would.
We have these hearings for freeway. We have these hearings for the city project downtown. We have these hearings, and we rarely get 70 people. How come we can get 70 people interested in trails? And I go, I don't know, but I love it. It's great, and particularly since all of them, or just about the majority of them, appear to be in favor of the trail, and that's why they were there. So it was awesome. That was the first meeting from the Forest Service on the scoping process that is part of the NEPA process. If nothing else, thank you very much.
Any other commissioner comments? Any public comments? Thank you. We now move to item 3D, update regarding the Lakeview Park Trailhead and Carson River Park Phase 2 projects. Mr. Cron.
Hello. For the record, Vern Cron, I'm the park planner. I just wanted to share with you two projects that we've just completed this late fall, early winter. And we are in the final processes of kind of tidying those two things up. Carson River Park, a project we reopened again. We closed the park in the fall for the construction of some of the improvements that we were looking at down there. And sometime mid-January, we opened it back up to the public with the only thing remaining, the picnic shelter. The picnic shelter arrived today, and they've been able to, in one day, get the frame erected. And tomorrow, if things go well, the roof goes on. So we're really excited to be able to have that available for the public this spring and for the start of our aquatic trail system again this year. The other thing was, that's going on. We're excited about that. The plan is to have a ribbon-cutting ceremony this spring. We'll keep you posted on when that is, but the direction I've received from Roger is we have to, despite how excited staff is right now, we don't want to do that in February or March because we could get snowed on, and Roger prefers not to have ribbon-cutting ceremonies in the middle of a snowstorm. So as soon as it greens up down there and starts to look real nice and we get the cows back and cows around and other things done, we'll be getting a ribbon-cutting ceremony going down there. Probably realistically April or May is probably when we'll be looking at that. Then the other thing that we'd like to announce is we also we were in the process, thanks to the fine folks over at the Public Works Department. They helped us, along with the Nevada All-State Trail Riders, to put together our facility up at Lakeview Park. That is completed. You will see in the picture that I copied and handed out for you a gate. That gate has now been removed. Actually, we relocated that gate somewhere else. So waste not, want not. And what's that? Recycle. It is now open. The only thing left up at the Lakeview Trailhead to complete that project is a little revegetation effort and a kiosk. And right now the Nevada All-State Trail Riders are looking at helping us with the cost of purchasing that kiosk. So anyway, two projects we completed very late fall, early winter. They're done now, open to the public, and we're excited that these amenities will be used this spring by folks. Any questions? Very good.
Thank you. Are there any citizen comments on the Lakeview Park Trailhead or the Carson River Park Phase 2? Thank you. We now move to item number 4, meeting items. Item A, to elect a chairperson and vice chairperson to the Parks and Recreation Commission for 2012.
Okay, I guess I'll kick this off in accordance with the Commission's Park and Recreation, or the Park and Recreation Commission's bylaws. The first regular meeting of the year, you're supposed to elect a chair and a vice chair. So I guess with that, I'll turn it over to the Commission, and you can deliberate on how you want to do that.
Well, I guess we should just put out a call for nominations for start. Are there any nominations for the chair for 2012?
I just have a quick question.
Yes, sir.
How long have the current chair and vice chair been in their position?
1 year. Each year is a 1 year term.
And okay. And
I was vice chair in 2010, and chair in 2011. Are there any nominations for chair? Commissioner Westergaard.
I'd nominate Molly Wall for chair, if she would be inclined to accept that nomination.
Is there a second?
Second.
Mr. Chairman.
Commissioner Curtis.
I appreciate Molly and everything that she does, and the fact that she sits with us very
Mr.
regularly.
Chairman, point of order.
Commissioner Westergaard.
Before we have discussions on nominees, we need to stay to the point of taking nominations.
Are there further nominations? Commissioner Brode.
I'd like to nominate Sean Lehman for chair.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Two nominations. Are there any other nominations for chair? Commissioner Long.
So I have a question. Obviously, I'm pretty new at this.
Yes, sir.
I haven't been exposed and been around it long enough to, I think, really make an informed decision. So is it really necessary for me to have to decide, or how does that work?
You could vote or you could abstain. That's your choice. Seeing no other nominations, now do we go for vice chair right away, or do we discuss the chair? Okay. Comments on the chair, Commissioner Curtis.
Thank you. My comment is that I don't think it's appropriate to have a member of the Board of Supervisors or even our school board member serve as chair of this citizens committee. Appreciate the fact that they're members of this commission. They're not on every committee in town, but they are on several. But I think this particular committee, or at least as long as I've been on it, we've never had a Board of Supervisor member as chair that I know of. And also I know Molly's a very, very busy person. And one of the things that has concerned me over the past year, and it's not Steve's fault, he just hasn't been feeling very well, but we haven't been as active as we could be as a commission. And I honestly think that Molly's got plenty on her plate, and I think it's too much power to have somebody who's on the Board of Supervisors also serve as chair of a committee.
Any other comments? Commissioner Westergaard.
I think that if that is an issue, I think that you should probably bring that up as a bylaw. There is no preclusion regarding that, and absent a preclusion, I think that's contrary to the democratic process. I think actually the Board of Supervisors would be the group that would take that up in terms of whether they should serve on boards and commissions or not. If you have a feeling as far as how busy a person is and so forth, I don't have any procedural issue with that. But on the point of precluding somebody from sitting for chairing or vice chairing a committee based upon the fact that they're a sitting supervisor, there's nothing to preclude that.
I agree, but I'm not saying she shouldn't, or a supervisor member or a school board member should not be sitting on the committee. I'm just talking about the chairmanship. And that's what I'm
talking about. There's nothing to preclude that.
Commissioner Brode.
Yeah, I think that Steve and Molly have both done a great job. And just my personal opinion has nothing to do with anybody's busy schedules or anything. I just think it's nice to rotate officers, and that's why I thought Sean would do a good job, because he hasn't done it. He's been on the commission, I don't know how long before I was on it, 4 years, and I just thought it would be nice to rotate. So,
Commissioner Lehman.
I think, yeah, one thing we've brought up in this commission many times is something called passing the torch, and I think I'm not advocating myself. I guess I am in this situation, but a good idea to, yeah, kind of rotate things around in my mind and give different people an idea of that. And that being said, does someone vote for themselves? Or?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Commissioner Walton.
to comment on, I guess, Donna and Todd's. The Board of Supervisors sits down and the only...
Be inclined to accept that nomination.
Is there a second?
Second.
Mr. Chairman.
Commissioner Curtis.
I appreciate Molly and everything that she does and the fact that she sits with us very
Mr.
regularly.
Chairman, point of order.
Commissioner Westergaard.
Before we have discussions on nominees, we need to stay to the point of taking nominations.
Are there further nominations? Commissioner Brode.
I'd like to nominate Sean Lehman for chair.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Two nominations. Are there any other nominations for chair? Commissioner Long.
So I have a question. Obviously, I'm pretty new at this.
Yes, sir.
I haven't been exposed and been around it long enough to, I think, really make an informed decision. So is it really necessary for me to have to decide, or how does that work?
You could vote or you could abstain. That's your choice. Seeing no other nominations, now do we go for vice chair right away, or do we discuss the chair? Okay. Comments on the chair, Commissioner Curtis.
Thank you. My comment is that I don't think it's appropriate to have a member of the Board of Supervisors or even our school board member serve as chair of this citizens committee. Appreciate the fact that they're members of this commission. They're not on every committee in town, but they are on several. But I think this particular committee, or at least as long as I've been on it, we've never had a Board of Supervisor member as chair that I know of. And also I know Molly's a very, very busy person. And one of the things that has concerned me over the past year, and it's not Steve's fault, he just hasn't been feeling very well, but we haven't been as active as we could be as a commission. And I honestly think that Molly's got plenty on her plate, and I think it's too much power to have somebody who's on the Board of Supervisors also serve as chair of a committee.
Any other comments? Commissioner Westergaard.
I think that if that is an issue, I think that you should probably bring that up as a bylaw. There is no preclusion regarding that, and absent a preclusion, I think that's contrary to the democratic process. I think actually the Board of Supervisors would be the group that would take that up in terms of whether they should serve on boards and commissions or not. If you have a feeling as far as how busy a person is and so forth, I don't have any procedural issue with that, but on the point of precluding somebody from sitting for chairing or vice chairing a committee based upon the fact that they're a sitting supervisor, there's nothing to preclude that.
I agree, but I'm not saying she shouldn't, or a supervisor member or a school board member should not be sitting on the committee. I'm just talking about the chairmanship.
There's nothing to preclude that.
Commissioner Brode.
Yeah, I think that Steve and Molly have both done a great job. And just my personal opinion has nothing to do with anybody's busy schedules or anything. I just think it's nice to rotate officers. And that's why I thought Sean would do a good job, because he hasn't done it. He's been on the commission, I don't know how long before I was on it, 4 years. And I just thought it would be nice to rotate. So,
Commissioner Lehman.
I think, yeah, one thing we've brought up in this commission many times is something called passing the torch. And I think I'm not advocating myself. I guess I am in this situation. But a good idea to, yeah, kind of rotate things around in my mind and give different people an idea of that. And that being said, does someone vote for themselves? Or?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Commissioner Walton.
to comment on, I guess, Donna and Todd's. The Board of Supervisors sits down, and the commissions that we are on are the ones that are by the state statute. Those are the ones that we sit on. Anything beyond that that is not divvied up, I guess, at the Board of Supervisors meeting when we do that is with our own personal choice, that we choose to sit on those committees or do whatever else volunteering that we decide to do. That is a personal choice of ours that we decide to do those. So anything else above that or beyond, and that is our own personal choice. The city is looking into how we're going to be, running the commissions that are governed under the city, and whether or not how we decide that the city manager is working on those term limits. So I guess it would be term limits, how long every term is for each committee, whether it be a 2-year or 4-year, rotating chairs to vice chairs. Does the vice chair go into the chair right after? All of that is going to be presented to the Board of Supervisors hopefully sometime soon. I know it was a goal that our city manager and staff have been working on. So all of that is going to be voted on as well, on how we're going to be doing that. I can appreciate the fact that some think that I'm busy or too busy. However, I accept the nomination and would like to be the one who decides whether or not I'm busy or too busy for it. I think know my time commitment, and my attendance has been, I would say, very good, if not almost excellent, to this board and to all the other ones that I am governed by with the Board of Supervisors.
Commissioner Westergaard.
I actually would like to chime in with Janice on the point as far as Steve, you go. I think it's healthy too for a body to have different leadership for several reasons. And I did bring up the last time, last year I believe it was, or the year before, the notion of the bylaws of the vice chairman becoming chairman, and we kind of follow that route. That was turned down, which is fine. That was a decision by the commission that I respect, but I did want to get on the record that my nomination of Molly is in no way an evaluation of your chairmanship. I think you've done a fine job. I just think it's healthy as a group, and you'll find it a lot of places for the chair to rotate or be fresh.
Well, I thank you, Commissioner Westergaard, and I concur. I think it's healthy for an organization to move the executive offices on a regular basis, and I appreciate the confidence expressed that you expressed, as well as Commissioner Broad, and thank you. And we have two nominations, and barring any other comments, I guess we should just put it out for a vote.
I move that we close the nominations.
Is there a second? Nominations are closed. We have two candidates. First candidate, Molly Walt. All in favor of Molly Walt as chairperson, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All in favor of Sean Lehman as chairperson, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
And I believe we have a multitude for Commissioner Lehman. So congratulations, Commissioner Lehman. You are the chair of 2012. And
we can start thinking for 2013, though, pretty soon.
And,
Mr. Chairman, can I get the vote for the record?
Let's voice vote, please, for Commissioner Walt.
No, I just need a count.
Okay.
Four.
Right, 4-3 with one abstention, correct.
So this is Brett Long, but just for the record, I abstained.
And So, Commissioner Lehman, welcome, and my best to you, and I full enjoyment in handling the Nevada open meeting law.
The commissions that we are on are the ones that are by the state statute. Those are the ones that we sit on. Anything beyond that that is not divvied up, I guess, at the Board of Supervisors meeting when we do that is with our own personal choice, that we choose to sit on those committees or do whatever else volunteering that we decide to do. That is a personal choice of ours that we decide to do those. So anything else above that or beyond, and that is our own personal choice. The city is looking into how we're going to be, I guess, running the commissions that are governed under the city, and, you know, whether or not that, how we decide that the city manager is working on those term limits. So I guess it would be term limits, how long every term is for each committee, whether it be a 2-year or 4-year, rotating chairs to vice chairs. Does the vice chair go into the chair right after? All of that is going to be presented to the Board of Supervisors, hopefully sometime soon. I know it was a goal that our city manager and staff have been working on. So all of that is going to be voted on as well, on how we're going to be doing that. I can appreciate the fact that some think that I'm busy or too busy. However, I accept the nomination and would like to be the one who decides whether or not I'm busy or too busy for it. I think know my time commitment, my attendance has been, I would say, very good, if not almost excellent, to this board and to all the other ones that I am governed by with the Board of Supervisors.
Commissioner Westergaard.
I actually would like to chime in with Janice on the point as far as Steve, you go. I think it's healthy too for a body to have different leadership for several reasons. And I did bring up the last time, last year I believe it was, or the year before, the notion of the bylaws of the vice chairman becoming chairman, and we kind of follow that route. That was turned down, which is fine. That was a decision by the commission that I respect, but I did want to get on the record that my nomination of Molly is in no way an evaluation of your chairmanship. I think you've done a fine job. I just think it's healthy as a group. And you'll find it a lot of places for the chair to rotate or be fresh.
Well, I thank you, Commissioner Westergaard, and I concur. I think it's healthy for an organization to move the executive offices on a regular basis, and I appreciate the confidence expressed that you expressed, as well as Commissioner Broad. And thank you. And we have two nominations, and barring any other comments, I guess we should just put it out for a vote.
I move that we close the nominations.
Is there a second? Nominations are closed. We have two candidates. First candidate, Molly Walt. All in favor of Molly Walt as chairperson, say aye.
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 All in favor of Sean Lehman as chairperson, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
And I believe we have a multitude for Commissioner Lehman. So congratulations, Commissioner Lehman. You are the chair of 2012. And
we can start thinking for 2013, though.
And,
Mr. Chairman, can I get the vote for the record?
Let's voice vote, please, for Commissioner Walt.
No, I just need a count.
Okay.
Four.
Right. 4-3 with one abstention, correct.
So this is Brett Long, but just for the record, I abstained.
So, Commissioner Lehman, welcome, and my best to you, and I full enjoyment in handling the Nevada open meeting law. And now we move to electing a vice chair for this coming year. Are there the first nomination? Please open the nominations. Commissioner Adams.
I'll nominate Doug Westergaard for vice chair.
Commissioner Westergaard, is there a second? We have a second. Commissioner Lehman.
I'll nominate Commissioner Janice Broad.
Commissioner Broad, is there a second?
I'll second.
We have a second. Is there any other nominations? Any discussion? All in favor of Todd Westergaard as vice chair, say aye.
Aye.
All in favor of Janice Broad as vice chair, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. I believe Commissioner Broad is the vice chair, and the number is...
I'm Brett Long, I abstain.
Yep. Is it again 4-3 with one abstention? It is. All right, we have leadership for the coming year, and seeing no citizen comment, we now move to item 4C, to approve scheduling a parks and facilities tour this spring. Oh, I'm sorry, I jumped the gun.
That's okay. This is a discussion only and a review of the Park and Recreation Commission bylaws. And I guess before we get with that, I'd like to thank both Steve and Molly for serving as chair and vice chair last year. I think you both did a great job. So. And anyhow, moving on. Again, at the first regular meeting of the year, the board usually takes an opportunity to review their bylaws and to discuss any suggested changes they'd like to see in their bylaws. Now, it's important to remember that you can't vote on the bylaw changes today. I think you all know that it has to wait till the next meeting. The meeting will be in March. And any bylaw changes have to be approved by two-thirds of the total commission membership in order to pass. And that's not two-thirds, again, of the commissioners in attendance, but two-thirds of the total commission. And with that, I'll turn it over to the commission. They can discuss any potential changes like to in the bylaws.
Commissioner Curtis.
I have a couple of things, but first of all, under meetings, the second paragraph, first sentence might be causing a problem. I'm not sure, but it says regular meetings may also be rescheduled in advance by a majority of commissioners at any regular meeting. I think a couple of times we've had to reschedule when not during a regular meeting. And I don't know whether that sentence excludes that we can reschedule a meeting outside of a regular meeting or whether we can.
Yeah, I think I might defer to our legal counsel, but I think the word may is probably the key operative word here. So it means if a meeting needs to be scheduled outside of a regular meeting, that can happen as well. But you also have the ability to reschedule a meeting during one of your meetings. So I think it allows for both.
And that's also supported by the last sentence of the first paragraph in that section, indicating that the chair and the Parks and Rec director can decide to cancel a meeting. They can be contacted individually to make that determination.
Okay.
Commissioner Westergaard.
My only comment would be that I don't know how soon the supervisors are going to be reviewing boards and commissions and so forth, but my thought is that it might be a good idea to bring this back after they have done that review and made changes. As a result of that review and the changes they make, we may want to take a look at our bylaws and adjust them accordingly.
Yeah, you can review your bylaws at any time during the year. It doesn't have to be at the first meeting. And actually, what you said, I think, makes some sense that you may, it's up to you. You can change your bylaws or make suggested revisions now, but you might want to wait until after that review. But it's up to you folks.
I think that would make sense. unless there's something, you know, burning.
Commissioner Brogue.
There's this one thing I thought might go under.
And now we move to electing a vice chair for this coming year. Are there the first nomination? Please open the nominations. Commissioner Adams.
I'll nominate Doug Westergaard for vice chair.
Commissioner Westergaard, is there a second? We have a second. Commissioner Lehman.
I'll nominate Commissioner Janice Brode.
Commissioner Brode, is there a second?
I'll second.
We have a second. Is there any other nominations? Any discussion? All in favor of Todd Westergaard as vice chair, say aye.
Aye.
All in favor of Janice Brode as vice chair, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. I believe Commissioner Brode is the vice chair, and the number is...
I'm Brett Long, I abstain.
Yep. Is it again 4-3 with one abstention? It is. All right, we have leadership for the coming year, and seeing no citizen comment, we now move to item 4C, to approve scheduling a parks and facilities tour this spring. Oh, I'm sorry, I jumped the gun.
That's okay. This is a discussion only and a review of the Park and Recreation Commission bylaws. And I guess before we get with that, I'd like to thank both Steve and Molly for serving as chair and vice chair last year. I think you both did a great job. So. And anyhow, moving on. Again, at the first regular meeting of the year, the board usually takes an opportunity to review their bylaws and to discuss any suggested changes they'd like to see in their bylaws. Now, it's important to remember that you can't vote on the bylaw changes today. I think you all know that it has to wait till the next meeting. The meeting will be in March. And any bylaw changes have to be approved by two-thirds of the total commission membership in order to pass. And that's not two-thirds, again, of the commissioners in attendance, but two-thirds of the total commission. And with that, I'll turn it over to the commission. They can discuss any potential changes like to in the bylaws.
Commissioner Curtis.
I have a couple of things, but first of all, under meetings, the second paragraph, first sentence might be causing a problem. I'm not sure, but it says regular meetings may also be rescheduled in advance by a majority of commissioners at any regular meeting. I think a couple of times we've had to reschedule when not during a regular meeting. And I don't know whether that sentence excludes that we can reschedule a meeting outside of a regular meeting or whether we can.
Yeah, I think I might defer to our legal counsel, but I think the word may is probably the key operative word here. So it means if a meeting needs to be scheduled outside of a regular meeting, that can happen as well. But you also have the ability to reschedule a meeting during one of your meetings. So I think it allows for both.
And that's also supported by the last sentence of the first paragraph in that section, indicating that the chair and the Parks and Rec director can decide to cancel a meeting. They can be contacted individually to make that determination.
Okay.
Commissioner Westergaard.
My only comment would be that I don't know how soon the supervisors are going to be reviewing boards and commissions and so forth, but my thought is that it might be a good idea to bring this back after they have done that review and made changes. As a result of that review and the changes they make, we may want to take a look at our bylaws and adjust them accordingly.
Yeah, you can review your bylaws at any time during the year. It doesn't have to be at the first meeting. And actually, what you said, I think, makes some sense that you may – it's up to you. You can change your bylaws or make suggested revisions now, but you might want to wait until after that review. But it's up to you folks.
I think that would make sense. unless there's something, you know, burning.
Commissioner Brogue.
There's this one thing I thought might go under a different category better, but on page 2, duties of chair C, that seemed to talk more about the commission and maybe would be better under 7, powers of the commission. So I don't know if that would fit better.
Any other commissioner comments on the bylaws? Commissioner Lehman.
Okay, so yeah, let's bring in the old open meeting law here. These are our bylaws. It says number 3 that we shall conform with the Nevada open meeting law. So if we're constructing our own bylaws, can we modify that at all?
No, under NRS 241015, you guys are a public body, and therefore you're subjected to the entire chapter of 241, which is the open meeting law.
Any other comments? Well, I believe that would close our discussion of the bylaws.
What about Janice's?
Well, it's a discussion.
We can't vote on it. Yeah,
no, but is it something we'll vote on the next time then? I mean, is
I guess what you're looking at, how do we tie this up?
I didn't know whether we acted on Janice's suggestion or not.
No, you really can't act. We'll
no, not act. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Is it going to be considered the next time?
Yes. Okay. I'll bring it back. I'll bring her suggestion back to the meeting in March, and then at that time you'll have an opportunity to vote on whether you want to make that change or not.
All right. That closes our item on the bylaws. And we now will move to the item that I was eager to get on the bus earlier on, approving the scheduling of a parks and facilities tour.
Okay. It had come to my attention that, in fact, I think Commissioner or Chair Lasko and I, Steve Lasko and I, had discussed this, that it's been a couple of years since we've had one of our traveling bus tours where we went around, looked at the facilities, the park and recreation facilities that we have, and discussed new projects and maybe talk about future projects, and those are usually, I think, you know, very beneficial, informative for the commission, if not sometimes a little entertaining, particularly if Vern and Juan are chattering, you know, back and forth about the merits of open space and natural areas and developed parks. But so there has been a suggestion that we take a look at the possibility of having another tour. Our recommendation is these tours take a little bit of time. This system, parks and recreation system of ours, has been growing. It's very extensive now, scattered over a fairly large geographical area. And in order to do it right, it'll probably take about a 2 to 3 hour bus trip. Our recommendation would be, if we're going to do this, and if you're interested in doing this, it probably makes sense to do it on a weekend, probably on a Saturday. Until we get towards the end of April, and I'm not sure when we switch over to daylight savings time, but is it March? We kind of run out of daylight by the end of the day when people try to hurry up and get after work, try to congregate and meet at a location and get on the bus. By the time we try to wrap up a little tour like that, we're kind of traveling in the dark. And so to that end, if you're interested in a Saturday, looked at the next 3 months, and the Saturdays in March fall on the 3rd, the 10th, the 17th, the 24th, and the 31st. And in April, it's the 7th, 14th, 21st, 28th. And May is the 5th, 12th, 19th, and 26th. I know that I probably have a conflict on March 24th and March 21st. But I think other than that, I think I'm free. And I know that we're trying to schedule for.
Do you mean March 31st? The 21st is a Wednesday.
March 31st. Let me cover that again. March Saturdays are the 3rd, the 10th, the 17th, the 24th, and the 31st.
Right.
Correct?
Right.
And April's are 7, 14, 21st, and 28th. And May is the 5th, 12th, 19th, and 26th.
Commissioner Lehman.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but I think when we did it 2 years ago, it took the place of our scheduled meeting on the first Tuesday of the month. Is that what happened? I think it did.
And that's an option. You can certainly do that if you'd like to, too.
I mean, if there's
a different category better, but on page 2, duties of chair C, that seemed to talk more about the commission and maybe would be better under 7, powers of the commission. So I don't know if that would fit better.
Any other commissioner comments on the bylaws? Commissioner Lehman.
Okay, so yeah, let's bring in the old open meeting law here. These are our bylaws. It says number 3 that we shall conform with the Nevada open meeting law. So if we're constructing our own bylaws, can we modify that at all?
No, under NRS 241015, you guys are a public body, and therefore you're subjected to the entire chapter of 241, which is the open meeting law.
Any other comments? Well, I believe that would close our discussion of the bylaws.
What about Janice's?
Well, it's a discussion.
We can't vote on it.
No, but is it something we'll vote on the next time then? I mean, it's...
Yeah, what we'll do. I guess what you're looking at, how do we tie this up?
Oh, no, I didn't know whether we acted on Janice's suggestion or not.
No, you really can't act. We'll
no, not act. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Is it going to be considered the next time?
Yes. Okay. I'll bring it back. I'll bring her suggestion back to the meeting in March, and then at that time you'll have an opportunity to vote on whether you want to make that change or not.
All right. That closes our item on the bylaws, and we now will move to the item that I was eager to get on the bus earlier on, approving the scheduling of a parks and facilities tour.
Okay. It had come to my attention that, in fact, I think Commissioner or Chair Lasko and I, Steve Lasko and I had discussed this, that it's been a couple of years since we've had one of our traveling bus tours where we went around, looked at the facilities, the park and recreation facilities that we have, and discussed new projects and maybe talk about future projects. And those are usually, I think, you know, very beneficial, informative for the commission, if not sometimes a little entertaining, particularly if Vern and Juan are chattering, you know, back and forth about the merits of open space and natural areas and developed parks. But so there has been a suggestion that we take a look at the possibility of having another tour. Our recommendation is these tours take a little bit of time. This system, parks and recreation system of ours, has been growing. It's very extensive now, scattered over a fairly large geographical area. And in order to do it right, it'll probably take about a 2 to 3 hour bus trip. Our recommendation would be, if we're going to do this, and if you're interested in doing this, it probably makes sense to do it on a weekend, probably on a Saturday, until we get towards the end of April. And I'm not sure when we switch over to daylight savings time, but is it March? We kind of run out of daylight by the end of the day when people try to hurry up and get after work, try to congregate and meet at a location and get on the bus. By the time we try to wrap up a little tour like that, we're kind of traveling in the dark. And so to that end, if you're interested in a Saturday, looked at the next 3 months, and the Saturdays in March fall on the 3rd, the 10th, the 17th, the 24th, and the 31st. And in April, it's the 7th, 14th, 21st, 28th. And May is the 5th, 12th, 19th, and 26th. I know that I probably have a conflict on March 24th and March 21st. But I think other than that, I think I'm free. And I know that we're trying to schedule for...
Do you mean March 31st? The 21st is a Wednesday.
March 31st. Let me cover that again. March Saturdays are the 3rd, the 10th, the 17th, the 24th, and the 31st.
Right.
Correct?
Right.
And April's are 7, 14, 21st, and 28th. And May is the 5th, 12th, 19th, and 26th.
Commissioner Lehman.
correct me if I'm wrong, but I think when we did it 2 years ago, it took the place of our scheduled meeting on the first Tuesday of the month. Is that what happened? I think it did.
And that's an option. You can certainly do that if you'd like to, too.
I mean, if there's an agenda where we don't have much on there, it's something to think about.
Well, looking at the future agenda, May is a light month, and I just, as Roger noted the dates, the first Saturday in May jumped out just because weather should be amenable and we have enough daylight and conditions should be dry and so on and so forth. So just to pick a day, you have to start somewhere. So that one, any feedback on that?
Yes. May is out for soccer season, so I'm out. I would propose, though, if we were going to do it, then if we did it May 1st on our scheduled meeting.
Commissioner Brode.
Yeah, I like that idea. I think we'll probably have enough daylight. If the time changes, we should have a little bit more time by then.
So to understand, you're suggesting that we have it in place of the May meeting at the regular time that the May meeting is held, which would be a Tuesday rather than the Saturday. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay.
I am.
Commissioner Lehman.
Would we have to announce that then as a meeting? Or?
Yeah, it would still have to be noticed as a meeting,
and
the public can attend the trip as well. So, we have to, be prepared for that.
But that's the case whether we do it on a Tuesday.
It doesn't
or
make
a
any
Saturday.
Difference what day of the week it is. That's correct.
And I think, too, the last time when we did it, public could attend. However, then it was subject to they were to get to each location on their own, correct?
Well, no, I think
some came on the.
I think we would probably have to make provisions to have them travel with you because a lot of discussion is going on, between the sites on the bus. So, but you can tell that the public normally isn't knocking the door down trying to get in here. So I think we'd be pretty safe with just trying to accept whoever shows up.
Were those motions by Ms. Walton?
I will. I moved to have the parks and facilities tour this spring on May 1st in placement of our regular scheduled Parks and Rec meeting.
Second. All in favor?
Can we please have public comment first real quick? Will you just ask?
Is there any public comments on that item? Hearing none. We have a vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Carries unanimously.
Probably Mrs. Cron appreciates that having on Tuesday rather than Saturday.
All right. And we now have a tour on May 1. And so we move to item 4D to determine a possible course of action and recommendation regarding the House of Representatives American Energy and Infrastructure Jobs Act Transportation Bill.
Okay, I'm going to kind of read you a little bit of the staff report, but this is put on the agenda, and I think it's a good suggestion by Commissioner Curtis that we review and address this potential bill. As you know, there are two bills right now being considered by Congress, one in the House bill and the other one's a Senate bill that that may heavily influence the direction that this country goes into in terms of transportation enhancements. The following is a explanation from Patrick Pittenger, our transportation manager, that talks about the probable effects that the House bill would have on Carson City. Now, both the House bill and the Senate bill are very similar. And I'll go into a little bit more detail about that after I read his statement. According to Patrick Pittenger, the current proposals in both the House and Senate for federal transportation reauthorization include provisions which would negatively impact funding for bicycle and pedestrian projects. The impacts would be nationwide, but would vary by location. In the case of smaller urbanized areas like Carson City, the impacts could be dramatic. The proposals are based on the premise of consolidation and simplification. The idea that the federal programs would be consolidated with the enhancement and safe route to schools program no longer existing. The proponents of this say that most activities currently...
We don't have much on there. It's something to think about.
Well, that looking at the future agenda, we May is a light month, and I just, as Roger noted the dates, the first Saturday in May jumped out just because weather should be amenable and we have enough daylight and conditions should be dry and so on and so forth. So just to pick a day, you have to start somewhere. So that one, any feedback on that?
Yes. May is out for soccer season, so I'm out. I would propose, though, if we were going to do it, then if we did it May 1st on our scheduled meeting.
Commissioner Brode.
Yeah, I like that idea. I think we'll probably have enough daylight. If the time changes, we should have a little bit more time by then.
So to understand, you're suggesting that we have it in place of the May meeting at the regular time that the May meeting is held, which would be a Tuesday rather than the Saturday. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay.
I am.
Commissioner Lehman.
Would we have to announce that then as a meeting or?
Yeah, it would still have to be noticed as a meeting, and the public can attend the trip as well. So we have to be prepared for that.
But that's the case whether we do it on a Tuesday.
It doesn't
or
make
a
any
Saturday.
Difference what day of the week it is. That's correct.
And I think too, the last time when we did it, public could attend. However, then it was subject to they were to get to each location on their own. Correct.
Well, no, I think
some came on the.
I think we would probably have to make provisions to have them travel with you because a lot of discussion is going on, between the sites on the bus. So, but you can tell that the public normally isn't knocking the door down trying to get in here. So I think we'd be pretty safe with just trying to accept whoever shows up.
Were those motions by Ms. Walton?
I will. I moved to have the parks and facilities tour this spring on May 1st in placement of our regular scheduled Parks and Rec meeting.
Second. All in favor?
Can we please have public comment first real quick? Will you just ask?
Is there any public comment on that item? Hearing none. We have a vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Carries unanimously.
Probably Mrs. Cron appreciates that happening on Tuesday rather than Saturday.
All right. And we now have a tour on May 1. And so we move to item 4D to determine a possible course of action and recommendation regarding the House of Representatives American Energy and Infrastructure Jobs Act Transportation Bill.
Okay, I'm going to kind of read you a little bit of the staff report, but this is put on the agenda, and I think it's a good suggestion by Commissioner Curtis that we review and address this potential bill. As you know, there are two bills right now being considered by Congress, one in the House bill and the other one's a Senate bill that that may heavily influence the direction that this country goes into in terms of transportation enhancements. The following is a explanation from Patrick Pittenger, our transportation manager, that talks about the probable effects that the House bill would have on Carson City. Now, both the House bill and the Senate bill are very similar. And I'll go into a little bit more detail about that after I read his statement. According to Patrick Pittenger, the current proposals in both the House and Senate for federal transportation reauthorization include provisions which would negatively impact funding for bicycle and pedestrian projects. The impacts would be nationwide, but would vary by location. In the case of smaller urbanized areas like Carson City, the impacts could be dramatic. The proposals are based on the premise of consolidation and simplification. The idea that the federal programs would be consolidated with the enhancement and safe route to schools program no longer existing. The proponents of this say that most activities currently eligible for enhancement funds would be eligible for federal funds, but it would no longer be a requirement but optional for each state. The Nevada Department of Transportation would not be obligated to continue to fund pedestrian projects. The enhancement and safe route to schools eligible activities would be eligible to continue to be funded through the Congestion Mitigation Air Quality Program, but only for urbanized areas with populations over 200,000 and or areas with significant air quality issues are eligible for those funds. Since Carson City area does not meet either of those criteria, it would be not eligible to pursue those type of projects. So to that effect, I had a discussion with Patrick Pittenger today to talk about what has developed since the time that he's made those statements. And basically, his feelings are still the same. You know, both of these bills are kind of going through the hallways, the annals of Congress. It's his opinion that the Senate bill has a more likely chance of actually becoming law rather than the House bill. I guess the House bill has been cumbered with a lot of riders and a lot of amendments that to the point where there's enough on there that somebody has an objection to, you know, that the bill, whole bill will eventually get voted down. In his investigation of this, he has found that the Obama administration is adamantly against both bills. In fact, Obama's Secretary of Transportation has labeled this bill, both of these bills, as the worst legislation that he's ever seen. And evidently, President Obama has said that he will veto either of the bills if they become law. So, what are the possibilities of this being enacted? I really can't say. We know that we all know that there seems to be some kind of parallelism in Congress these days, and it's a very highly charged and politicized environment, and particularly with this bill. But probably the areas that would be the most alarming for the city of Carson City is that, as Patrick mentioned, we would fall out of that urban area since we don't have a population of 200,000 or more. In fact, there would only be two urban areas in the state that would qualify, and that'd be the Reno-Sparks, Washoe County area, and, of course, Las Vegas and the consolidated areas around Clark County. And we more likely would lose the Safe Route to Schools project, too. That's been a very valuable project to us. As you know, we've built a very nice trail from over by Carson Middle School that gets a lot of use by the children that walk back and forth or ride their bikes back and forth from that neighborhood over to the school. So those are items that would be of concern to our department, because those are possible funding sources to connect some of the missing links in our trail system, to say the least, and of course, more importantly, provide safe passageways and routes for children to attend elementary schools. So I guess with that, I'll turn it over to the commission. If you have any questions, I'd be happy to try to answer them, or if you have any comments or a direction you'd like to go, we can duly note that.
Commissioner Curtis.
Thank you. Thanks, Roger, for putting this on. I read this with alarm. It seems like, you know, again, if you're around long enough, what comes around goes around, and we finally got to the point where transportation funds would be used for something other than motorized transportation. You know, here we are. We've got, you know, a lot of interest. The mayor, every time he speaks, he's very proud of the fact that, you know, Sean got us the notation of being a walkable friendly city, and that we almost got the bike friendly city. He mentions that because he thinks these are important. And also involved with, and so was Roger, on a committee called Let's Move Carson City. And a lot of the proposals I'm sure we're going to come out with are ways of getting kids and families to activities, regular scheduled activities. And all of this is going to involve, we would hope, the enhancement funds from the transportation bill. So for that reason, I wanted to bring it forward to, you know, have everybody aware of this. But secondly, I think it would be good for this
eligible for enhancement funds would be eligible for federal funds, but it would be, but it would no longer be a requirement but optional for each state. The Nevada Department of Transportation would not be obligated to continue to fund pedestrian projects. The enhancement and safe route to schools eligible activities would be eligible to continue to be funded through the congestion mitigation air quality program, but only for urbanized areas with populations over 200,000 and or areas with significant air quality issues are eligible for those funds. Since Carson City area does not meet either of those criteria, it would be not eligible to pursue those type of projects. So to that effect, I had a discussion with Patrick Pittenger today to talk about what has developed since the time that he's made those statements. And basically, his feelings are still the same. You know, both of these bills are kind of going through the hallways, the annals of Congress. It's his opinion that the Senate bill has a more likely chance of actually becoming law rather than the House bill. I guess the House bill has been cumbered with a lot of riders and a lot of amendments that to the point where there's enough on there that somebody has an objection to, you know, that the bill, whole bill will eventually get voted down. In his investigation of this, he has found that the Obama administration is adamantly against both bills. In fact, Obama's Secretary of Transportation has labeled this bill, both of these bills, as the worst legislation that he's ever seen. And evidently, President Obama has said that he will veto either of the bills if they become law. So, what are the possibilities of this being enacted? I really can't say. We know that we all know that there seems to be some kind of parallelism in Congress these days, and it's a very highly charged and politicized environment, and particularly with this bill. But probably the areas that would be the most alarming for the city of Carson City is that, as Patrick mentioned, we would fall out of that urban area since we don't have a population of 200,000 or more. In fact, it would only be two urban areas in the state that would qualify, and that'd be the Reno-Sparks, Washoe County area, and, of course, Las Vegas and the consolidated areas around Clark County. And we more likely would lose the Safe Route to Schools project, too. That's been a very valuable project to us. As you know, we've built a very nice trail from over by Carson Middle School that gets a lot of use by the children that walk back and forth or ride their bikes back and forth from that neighborhood over to the school. So those are items that would be of concern to our department, because those are possible funding sources to connect some of the missing links in our trail system, to say the least, and of course, more importantly, provide safe passageways and routes for children to attend elementary schools. So I guess with that, I'll turn it over to the commission. If you have any questions, I'd be happy to try to answer them, or if you have any comments or a direction you'd like to go, we can duly note that.
Commissioner Curtis.
Thank you. Thanks, Roger, for putting this on. I read this with alarm. It seems like, you know, again, if you're around long enough, what comes around goes around, and we finally got to the point where transportation funds would be used for something other than motorized transportation. So, you know, here we are. We've got, you know, a lot of interest. The mayor, every time he speaks, he's very proud of the fact that, you know, Sean got us the notation of being a walkable friendly city, and that we almost got the bike friendly city. He mentions that because he thinks these are important. And also involved with, and so was Roger, on a committee called Let's Move Carson City. And a lot of the proposals I'm sure we're going to come out with are ways of getting kids and families to activities. regular scheduled activities. And all of this is going to involve, we would hope, the enhancement funds from the transportation bill. So for that reason, I wanted to bring it forward to, you know, have everybody aware of this. But secondly, I think it would be good for this commission to consider some kind of action to recommend to the Board of Supervisors that they, you know, connect with the congressman, et cetera, and express our dismay on this bill, these bills.
Commissioner Westergaard.
What's the Nevada delegation's stance on this bill?
Todd, I don't know, and we can certainly check on that and research that, but I really don't know what their stand is.
And do we know where they are in the process?
Just that they're in the process of going through Congress. That's all we know at this point. Like I said, the House bill seems to be encumbered by a lot of amendments that seem to be weighing it down at this point.
Yeah, I contacted Representative Petrie's office, he being from Wisconsin, one of the opponent leaders, but I didn't get any real information. I just wanted to chime in with my support, so I didn't get a sense for when any resolution was going to happen. Safe Routes to Schools alone is an extremely important program and has benefited Carson City and a lot of communities in Northern Nevada. And I would have to think at some point that our bus system would be under some sort of impact from this particular set of bills, from bills of this nature that seek to restructure transportation resources. Are there any other comments? Commissioner Lehman.
I was just going to chime in on the Safe Routes to School program. One thing we've been working on a little bit is King Street, between just west of the middle school, between the neighborhood up there on the west side and the middle school. We've got miles and miles of paved trails up on the west side. We got all these on the other side, and you got about 1,000 feet in the middle there. That's got a 2-inch shoulder with a 40-mile-an-hour speed limit and a blind curve. And I've been told repeatedly that probably the only way you get that built is with the Safe Routes to School grant. So, and I just think that's a critical link for our entire pedestrian network. So, yeah, I would like to maybe see an action of just this body opposing this.
Well, I agree, and I support that. Commissioner Westergaard.
Are you talking about the on King Street? Sean, the
Canyon Road,
Kings Canyon.
King Canyon.
West of the middle school. We've got bike lanes up King Street the whole way. They quit. The shoulder's about 2 inches wide, and then you get into all the trails up in Long Ranch. So,
what is that property that runs parallel to the Anderson property up there?
Yeah, I went up there last week. In anticipation of this discussion, and here we are talking earlier today about a new desired trail that we're developing from Kings Canyon to Ash Canyon, and we have this bottleneck on King Street on the way to all these wonderful trails that they're trying to showcase our area. Let me just offer one thing that in response to that as just as a potential solution, I thought that we might try to have some sort of design competition either locally or at the university level with, is there a creative engineering solution to having a footbridge or something, with where you have very, very little land to use, very little footprint and access, but is there a means of coming up with a solution to this? And because it is a very much of a sticking point. It's extremely unsafe, extremely unsafe. And I certainly don't want to be the statistic or have any of us sitting here be the statistic that leads to change. So, Commissioner Wald.
Ready to make a motion? Okay.
Before you do that, can I make two quick points? Just hate to butt in, but I did talk to Patrick Pittenger about whether Jack is jeopardized by either one of these bills, and he said no. They shouldn't affect the bus service. And then just to kind of follow up on your discussion about the Kings Canyon Road, if you notice in your future agenda items, we have
to consider some kind of action to recommend to the Board of Supervisors that they, you know, connect with the congressman, et cetera, and express our dismay on this bill, these bills.
Commissioner Westergaard.
What's the Nevada delegation's stance on this bill?
Todd, I don't know, and we can certainly check on that and research that, but I really don't know what their stand is.
And do we know where they are in the process?
Just that they're in the process of going through Congress. That's all we know at this point. Like I said, the House bill seems to be encumbered by a lot of amendments that seem to be weighing it down at this point.
Yeah, I contacted Representative Petrie's office. He'd been from Wisconsin, one of the opponent leaders, but I didn't get any real information. I just wanted to chime in with my support, so I didn't get a sense for when any resolution was going to happen. Safe Routes to Schools alone is an extremely important program and has benefited Carson City and a lot of communities in Northern Nevada. And I would have to think at some point that our bus system would be under some sort of impact from this particular set of bills, from bills of this nature that seek to restructure transportation resources. Are there any other comments? Commissioner Lehman.
I was just going to chime in on the Safe Routes to School program. One thing we've been working on a little bit is King Street, between just west of the middle school, between the neighborhood up there on the west side and the middle school. We've got miles and miles of paved trails up on the west side. We got all these on the other side, and you got about 1,000 feet in the middle there. That's got a 2-inch shoulder with a 40-mile-an-hour speed limit and a blind curve. And I've been told repeatedly that probably the only way you get that built is with the Safe Routes to School grant. So, and I just think that's a critical link for our entire pedestrian network. So, yeah, I would like to maybe see an action of just this body opposing this.
Well, I agree, and I support that. Commissioner Westergaard.
Are you talking about the on King Street? Sean, the
Canyon Road.
King's Canyon.
King's Canyon.
West of the middle school. We've got bike lanes up King Street the whole way. They quit. The shoulder's about 2 inches wide, and then you get into all the trails up in Long Ranch. So,
what is that property that runs parallel to the Anderson property up there?
Yeah, I went up there last week. In anticipation of this discussion, and here we are talking earlier today about a new desired trail that we're developing from Kings Canyon to Ash Canyon, and we have this bottleneck on King Street on the way to all these wonderful trails that they're trying to showcase our area. Let me just offer one thing that in response to that as just as a potential solution, I thought that we might try to have some sort of design competition either locally or at the university level with, is there a creative engineering solution to having a footbridge or something, with where you have very, very little land to use, very little footprint and access, but is there a means of coming up with a solution to this? And because it is a very much of a sticking point, but it's extremely unsafe. And I certainly don't want to be the statistic or have any of us sitting here be the statistic that leads to change. So, Commissioner Wald.
Ready to make a motion? Okay.
Before you do that, can I make two quick points? Just hate to butt in, but I did talk to Patrick Pittenger about whether Jack is jeopardized by either one of these bills, and he said no. They shouldn't affect the bus service. And then just as a just to kind of follow up on your discussion about the Kings Canyon Road, if you notice in your future agenda items, we have that scheduled for a discussion in March.
Yes.
I wanted to make a comment before we put this out for a discussion or recommendation to another board. My opinion is I don't want to see this commission recommending political items to the Carson City Board of Supervisors. That's my personal opinion, and you know, but I think it is in this case to propose something to either the RTC or to CAMP or to both the transportation agencies that are involved, I think, is the appropriate course of action. So I just want to put that out there as we discussed. Anyone else?
No, we just voted on a political action last week in regards to, you know, what's being out there. I do think that something coming from the city is going to have weight. So, I mean, and so I'm ready to make a motion, I guess. I move to recommend to, to contact or however have this commission contact the Board of Supervisors to oppose this bill and let it be done in writing and to contact them to have an action item on the Board of Supervisors' agenda. Opposing the bill.
Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Any public comment on this item? Commissioner comment. Commissioner Westergaard.
I can't support the motion, but I want to indicate why. I'm just not educated enough about the legislation itself. And because of that, I even have questions about jurisdiction as far as whether we have jurisdiction in this particular area, not knowing what all we're talking about. And I tend to agree with you in terms of, and I know it's a fine line, where we certainly have the ability to discuss and make recommendations regarding local policy. But on something like this, I would be more comfortable that things flow the other way and the Board of Supervisors maybe ask us to vet this issue and then make a recommendation based upon what we've discovered. At this point, I just don't I don't know enough about it to vote either way.
Commissioner Curtis.
Well, maybe a suggestion would be that we look at it the other way and say that we would like to communicate with the Board of Supervisors that we support Safe Routes to Schools and the other aspects of the enhancements funds in the current transportation bill. Would that?
Then, Commissioner Wald.
The question I would have is, what would you want the Board of Supervisors to do with that then? Because the fact of the matter is anything that's brought, we can't discuss unless it is, you know, on the agenda. I mean, I'm not really quite sure then the direction. Here, you know, the motion, there is a direction. This is what you would like. If we needed to find more information, this commission, if that would then appease Commissioner Westergaard to find out more information about it and then bring it to the Board of Supervisors, you know, I'm okay with that. But there just needs to be direction. If you support it, that you support Safe Routes to School, great. But what would you like the board to do with that then?
Well, basically, it would be just to, you know, let the delegation know that we, by supporting it, we're opposing, you know, the bill.
Right.
And that way, you know, can't say that we know everything about the bill, but we definitely know what this committee or what this city it supports. But I'll go either way.
Commissioner Broad.
Does anybody know if there's a timeline that has to get done? When is it going to be voted on? Do we know that?
No.
And also, I just had one more thing. Does it have to be done as a city? Could individual
scheduled for a discussion in March?
Yes.
I wanted to make a comment before we put this out for a discussion or recommendation to another board. My opinion is, I don't want to see this commission recommending political items to the Carson City Board of Supervisors. That's my personal opinion, and you know, but I think it is in this case to propose something to either the RTC or to CAMP or to both the transportation agencies that are involved, I think is the appropriate course of action. So I just want to put that out there as we discussed. Anyone else?
No, we just voted on a political action last week in regards to, you know, what's being out there. I do think that something coming from the city is going to have weight. So, so I'm ready to make a motion, I guess. I move to recommend to, to contact or however have this commission contact the Board of Supervisors to oppose this bill and let it be done in writing and to contact them to have an action item on the Board of Supervisors agenda opposing the bill.
Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Any public comment on this item? Commissioner comment. Commissioner Westergaard.
I can't support the motion, but I want to indicate why. I'm just not educated enough about the legislation itself. And because of that, I even have questions about jurisdiction as far as whether we have jurisdiction in this particular area, not knowing what all we're talking about. And I tend to agree with you in terms of, and I know it's a fine line, we certainly have the ability to discuss and make recommendations regarding local policy. But on something like this, I would be more comfortable that things flow the other way and the Board of Supervisors maybe ask us to vet this issue. And then make a recommendation based upon what we've discovered. At this point, I don't know enough about it to vote either way.
Commissioner Curtis.
Well, maybe a suggestion would be that we look at it the other way and say that we would like to communicate with the Board of Supervisors that we support Safe Routes to Schools and the other aspects of the enhancements funds in the current transportation bill. Would that?
Then, Commissioner Wald.
The question I would have is, what would you want the Board of Supervisors to do with that then? Because the fact of the matter is anything that's brought, we can't discuss unless it is, you know, on the agenda. I mean, I'm not really quite sure then the direction. Here, you know, the motion, there is a direction. This is what you would like. If we needed to find more information, this commission, if that would then appease Commissioner Westergaard to find out more information about it and then bring it to the Board of Supervisors, you know, I'm okay with that. But there just needs to be direction. If you support it, that you support Safe Routes to School, great, but what would you like the board to do with that then?
Well, basically, it would be just to, you know, let the delegation know that we, by supporting it, we're opposing, you know, the bill.
Right.
And that way, you know, can't say that we know everything about the bill, but we definitely know what this committee or what this city it supports. Okay. But I'll go either way.
Commissioner Broad.
Does anybody know if there's a timeline that has to get done? When is it going to be voted on? Do we know that?
No.
And also, I just had one more thing. Does it have to be done as a city? Could individual citizens just call? Or I mean, I understand it's probably more effective as a city. But
yeah, individuals absolutely can. And as I mentioned, I have. And each of us is empowered to do so. And then that was a clarification I wanted to get from Commissioner Walt. We have RTC Campo and the Board of Supervisors. Are you suggesting we contact all three of these agencies? Yeah. Or one, or what?
No, that was not within my motion. My motion was the Board of Supervisors. Okay. Because I think you can contact those groups and ask them just to put it on their agenda. I don't believe we need a board action to do that. You contact their chairman or you contact city staff, which Patrick has already been contacted. So, and then you just ask him. And then if that's what we want is for each of those committees to then go to the Board of Supervisors, they can just go ahead and have that as an agenda item. The Board of Supervisors is the one that I made within my motion.
Again, just for clarification, because obviously I'm not against safe route to schools. I just don't know. I just don't know if it's within our jurisdiction. I would like there to be safe drinking water in schools too, but I don't think that's within our jurisdiction. So I just don't know enough about it.
Commissioner Lehman.
Yeah, I know Commissioner Walt brought up a good point that the Board of Supervisors would obviously have a lot more impact than us because we're just the advisory committee here. So, yeah, is that something that you can just put on your agenda? Do we have to actually make a motion or?
No, that's the thing. I mean, Roger, any board member can put anything on the agenda. Staff can put it on the agenda once it goes through, their Monday staff meeting updates can be put on the agenda as well. If it comes from this board saying that you support it, then again, it carries more weight with the Board of Supervisors to say that the Parks and Rec Commission voted on this. They were for this, and they're asking for your support because the Board of Supervisors looks at all of their commissions and boards as, with weight as well. I mean, you were all elected by the Board of Supervisors, appointed by the Board of Supervisors to sit on here for a reason. You carry weight. And so, I mean, yes, you could say yes, go ahead and put it on. However, if it came from this commission, it would carry more weight as well. And the wording I'm looking for is not so much carrying much weight, but it just the impact. Yeah, because you're all very well respected by the Board of Supervisors.
If I could make a suggestion, maybe if you want to go this route and if you approve this recommended action, for this action, what we could do is staff could draft a letter for the chair, which would be Commissioner Lehman, to sign with his approval, and basically, using the words that you had here, you're opposing this and asking that it be brought to the Board of Supervisors as an agenda item. Like that's kind of the spirit of what you brought forward, wasn't it, Molly?
It was, and then to say that we. And then for the Board of Supervisors then to take action.
Okay.
What we would have to do then is this commission is what action, did you want simply a phone call? I'm saying no, that a letter be sent, from the board signed by the mayor, to our delegation, for our Nevada delegation be sent saying, please, as part of Carson City, we would, we oppose this bill.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? So carried.
I abstain.
Yes. Commissioner Westergaard, abstain.
I just want to confirm you did ask for public comment first, right?
Yes.
Okay, perfect.
Yes. Yes. And we now have item number 5, members' announcements and requests for information. Are there any such items? Any public? Oh, Commissioner Walt?
I do. Now that we are going to take the meeting May 1st and do our tour, Roger, when would we be able to do the annual budget?
Just call? Or I mean, I understand it's probably more effective as a city. But
yeah, individuals absolutely can, and as I mentioned, I have, and each of us is empowered to do so. And then that was a clarification I wanted to get from Commissioner Walt. We have RTC Campo and the Board of Supervisors. Are you suggesting we contact all three of these agencies, or one, or what?
No, that was not within my motion. My motion was the Board of Supervisors, because I think you can contact those groups and ask them just to put it on their agenda. I don't believe we need a board action to do that. You contact their chairman or you contact, city staff, which Patrick has already been contacted. So, and then you just ask him. And then if that's what we want is for each of those committees to then go to the Board of Supervisors, they can just go ahead and have that as an agenda item. The Board of Supervisors is the one that I made within my motion.
Again, just for clarification, because obviously I'm not against safe route to schools. I just don't know, I just don't know if it's within our jurisdiction. I would like there to be safe drinking water in schools too, but I don't think that's within our jurisdiction. So I just don't know enough about it.
Commissioner Lehman.
Yeah, I know Commissioner Walt brought up a good point that the Board of Supervisors would obviously have a lot more impact than us because we're just the advisory committee here. So, yeah, is that something that you can just put on your agenda? Do we have to actually make a motion or?
No, that's the thing. I mean, Roger, any board member can put anything on the agenda. Staff can put it on the agenda once it goes through, their Monday staff meeting updates can be put on the agenda as well. If it comes from this board saying that you support it, then again, it carries more weight with the Board of Supervisors to say that the Parks and Rec Commission voted on this. They were for this, and they're asking for your support. Because the Board of Supervisors looks at all of their commissions and boards as, with weight as well. I mean, you were all elected by the Board of Supervisors, appointed by the Board of Supervisors to sit on here for a reason. You carry weight. And so, I mean, yes, you could say yes, go ahead and put it on. However, if it came from this commission, it would carry more weight as well. And the wording I'm looking for is not so much carry much weight, but it just the impact, yeah, because you're all very well respected by the Board of Supervisors.
If I could make a suggestion, maybe if you want to go this route and if you approve this recommended action or this action, what we could do is staff could draft a letter for the chair, which would be Commissioner Lehman, to sign with his approval and basically using the words that you had here, you're opposing this and asking that it be brought to the Board of Supervisors as an agenda item. I guess kind of the spirit of what you brought forward, wasn't it, Molly?
It was, and then to say that we, and then for the Board of Supervisors then to take action.
Okay.
What we would have to do then is this commission is what action, did you want simply a phone call? I'm saying no, that a letter be sent, from the board signed by the mayor. To our delegation, for our Nevada delegation, be sent saying, please, as part of Carson City, we would, we oppose this bill.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? So carried. Yes, Commissioner Westergaard abstain.
I just want to confirm you did ask for public comment first, right?
Yes.
Okay, perfect.
Yes. And we now have item number 5, members' announcements and requests for information. Are there any such items? Any public? Oh, Commissioner Walt.
I do. Now that we are going to take the meeting May 1st and do our tour, Roger, when would we be able to do the annual budget?
Well, you know, there's a possibility that we could bring it in April. We're kind of in the process of formulating now, so we can play it by ear. Maybe the April meeting we could bring the budget forward.
And I would just like to, I have two things I'd like to say. I see that the ice rink has been broken down for the year. By understanding, we had another successful season. And so congratulations to everyone there for their hard work and the citizens of Carson City for enjoying the ice rink. And I had another item and it completely escaped me. I'm sorry. Any other comments? Commissioner Curtis. Okay. Commissioner Walt.
On that regard to, I guess I'll do, because will the ice rink then, we'll be getting an update on the ice rink as well?
If the commission would like an updated report on the ice rink, we can certainly put that on the agenda.
Yes. And then these are members' announcements, right?
Yes.
Okay. So I'm going to put a plug out there. AYSO is having registrations actually tonight, 6 to 8 at Gold Dust Bowling. They're having registration on Saturday at the Carson Mall from 11 to 2, May 13th from 6 to 8 at Gold Dust Bowling Center, and March 13th at Gold Dust from 6 to 8, and March 17th from 11 to 2. And these are for divisions U5, U6, and U8. And that one is at Carson Mall.
My memory regained me. I just wanted to point out there were several items in our Parks and Recreation magazine this current month. There was an item on dog park substrate, footing or whatever. There was an article on splash pads. And there were one or two other articles of peripheral, if not direct, interest to us. So I encourage all the commissioners to really take a look at that, look online. There's a lot of resources available there, and so let's make the most of those. Any other comments? Commissioner Lehman.
Since we're doing pitches here, I have to do the pitch for the running here. We had a run at the new Carson River Park, and it worked out great. The parking was nice. There were restrooms. Worked out good. The last run in that series is March 10th at Washoe State Park at 9 o'clock, and that's been a lot of fun for anyone that wants to get out and run.
Thank you. Future agenda items.
I have several.
Commissioner Curtis.
First of all, I see on March 6th there's a presentation regarding the department's ActiveNet operation system. Can you tell me very briefly what that is?
And it's easy to get this confused with Active Strategies, but they're two separate programs. ActiveNet is a new management software that our department is employing. Basically, it handles our reservations and our rentals. And we think it's going to streamline our process as far as our reservations and rentals. And plus, in addition to that, you can do those online now. And so we're going to try to have that ready. We've been kind of knocking the kinks out of that one here about the last 2 months. But we're going to try to have that ready that we can maybe give a presentation or demonstration on that for you folks.
You know,
Commissioner Wall.
On that topic, the recreation and how that is done online, mm-hmm. Kudos. That is I mean, once you develop your username and password, I mean, you can go in there and see where everything is. You can grab schedules. You can do it. It's very, very good and very easy to do. Has that helped?
It has helped. Yeah. It's and what we're really hoping that it'll do is it'll cut down a lot of the face-to-face time or the telephone conversations that we have with people who are trying to register, you know, themselves or their children for some of our programs or activities. It'll allow you, as an individual, we've got the registration going now. We don't have the rental and reservations fully loaded and ready to go at this point. We're just maybe a few weeks away. I think we're trying to have that implemented by March 1st. But it'll allow you, if you're interested in one of our facilities. Well, you know, there's a possibility that we could bring it in April. We're kind of in the process of formulating now, so we can play it by ear. Maybe the April meeting we could bring the budget forward.
And I would just like to, I have two things I'd like to say. I see that the ice rink has been broken down for the year. My understanding, we had another successful season. And so congratulations to everyone there for their hard work and the citizens of Carson City for enjoying the ice rink. And I had another item and it completely escaped me. I'm sorry. Any other comments? Commissioner Curtis. Okay. Commissioner Walt.
On that regard to, I guess I'll do, because will the ice rink then, we'll be getting an update on the ice rink as well?
If the commission would like an updated report on the ice rink, we can certainly put that on the agenda.
Yes. And then these are members' announcements, right?
Yes.
Okay. So I'm going to put a plug out there. AYSO is having registrations actually tonight, 6 to 8 at Gold Dust Bowling. They're having registration on Saturday at the Carson Mall from 11 to 2, May 13th from 6 to 8 at Gold Dust Bowling Center, and March 13th at Gold Dust from 6 to 8, and March 17th from 11 to 2, and these are for divisions U5, U6, and U8, and that one is at Carson Mall.
My memory regained me. I just wanted to point out there were several items in our Parks and Recreation magazine this current month. There was an item on dog park substrate, footing or whatever. There was an article on splash pads. And there were one or two other articles of peripheral, if not direct, interest to us. So I encourage all the commissioners to really take a look at that, look online. There's a lot of resources available there, and so let's make the most of those. Any other comments? Commissioner Lehman.
Since we're doing pitches here, I have to do the pitch for the running here. We had a run at the new Carson River Park, and it worked out great. The parking was nice. There were restrooms. Worked out good. The last run in that series is March 10th at Washoe State Park at 9 o'clock, and that's been a lot of fun for anyone that wants to get out and run.
Thank you. Future agenda items.
I have several.
Commissioner Curtis.
First of all, I see on March 6th there's a presentation regarding the department's ActiveNet operation system. Can you tell me very briefly what that is?
And it's easy to get this confused with Active Strategies, but they're two separate programs. ActiveNet is a new management software that our department is employing. Basically, it handles our reservations and our rentals. And we think it's going to streamline our process as far as our reservations and rentals. And plus, in addition to that, you can do those online now. And so we're going to try to have that ready. We've been kind of knocking the kinks out of that one here about the last 2 months. But we're going to try to have that ready that we can maybe give a presentation or demonstration on that for you folks.
You know,
Commissioner Wall.
On that topic, the recreation and how that is done online, mm-hmm. Kudos. That is I mean, once you develop your username and password, I mean, you can go in there and see where everything is. You can grab schedules. You can do it. It's very, very good and very easy to do. Has that helped?
It has helped. Yeah. It's And what we're really hoping that it'll do is it'll cut down a lot of the face-to-face time or the telephone conversations that we have with people who are trying to register, you know, themselves or their children for some of our programs or activities. It'll allow you, as an individual, we've got the registration going out. We don't have the rental and reservations fully loaded and ready to go at this point. We're just maybe a few weeks away. I think we're trying to have that implemented by March 1st. But it'll allow you, if you're interested in one of our facilities, to get online to find out if the facility is available during the time that you want it and make a reservation request that'll be approved then by our reservation individual. So, and at this presentation, what I'd like to do is be able to have show you actually how you set up an account with our department and how you can register them for programs.
Commissioner Curtis, continue.
Yes, we talked about what we do annually or semi-annually or every once in a while we go out and take tours of parks. I don't know if there's any interest with the commission in terms of doing another goals session. I don't know if any of us can even remember the goals that we set last year. But sometimes, you know, particularly for thinking of things that, you know, that we as commissioners might want to be involved in, it's helpful. But I'm just asking the question. I don't know whether anybody wants to do that or not.
I can add it to as an agenda item for one of the upcoming meetings, and then you can make that determination. We can make it for possible action, and you can decide whether you want to have a goal setting session.
Okay. I would also ask, you know, Roger, you and I talked about this, if there's a way we can move up the implementation strategies. What this is something that, well, some of you have absolutely no idea, but those of us that have been on the commission for a while, we actually looked through the Parks and Recreation Master Plan, and where there was, I think there were 81 of them listed in terms of strategies to implement the master plan, and we kind of went through and made comments, and some of them, you know, I think would be timely if we ever get back to, you know, looking at subdivisions and that kind of thing. Some was just cleaning up, some probably erroneous. But anyway, I know Vern at once upon a time was going to take a look at those and report back to us, and I don't know when he would be able to do that. But I didn't want to lose sight of it because we did spend a lot of time.
Yeah, we've kind of kept it on that no date set category, but we can certainly take a look at that. Looks like the next couple months, if you look at your future agenda items, are kind of full. And I did leave off, I have an item on here that we do need to add, and that would be a discussion on the open meeting law. And I think, you know, just a short little discussion refresher, I guess, basically on this, not to take all day, not to take 2 hours, but, you know, maybe 20-minute, 30-minute refresher on the open meeting law. And
yep,
I'd like to add that either in March or April.
That was my last comment, was I thought we kind of left it that we were going to do that, not so much a training session, but more these are the issues that came up,
yep.
How should we have dealt with them, that kind of thing.
Okay.
Thank you.
Commissioner Westergaard.
Just to comment on that, again, if the Board of Supervisors is going to be looking at boards and commissions and so forth, there might be an opportunity, I would think, that they might set something up for many of the boards and commissions to do that together. I don't know if that's a point.
Actually,
I don't know if that's something in the works or not. I just bring that up as far as whether they were going to do it anyway.
I don't know whether there's an intention to, you know, for the district attorney's office to hold, you know, rather lengthy sessions in terms of going through the Open Meeting Act, but I'm more interested in those particular issues that came up with this commission.
Commissioner Wald.
Every other year, the district attorney holds a session and opens it up to every commission, every board, the Board of Supervisors, the newly elected Board of Supervisors, and I know the last two, and staff, and the last one and the one previous to that, it was the only ones to attend were staff and the newly elected Board of Supervisors were the ones to attend. The commissions commissioners and boards don't attend. And that is something, though, that is also going to be looked at within what the city manager is doing for the boards and commissions, is whether or not, you know, we have to make something to that regard mandatory. You know, I know you're all volunteers, but something to that effect, you know, when you go to apply, there was a suggestion whether or not it goes through and is voted through. But when you have your application, saying that you will then attend an open meeting law, because it is
online to find out the facilities available during the time that you want it and make a reservation request that will be approved then by our reservation individual. So and at this presentation, what I'd like to do is be able to have a show you actually how you set up an account with our department and how you can register them for programs.
Commissioner Curtis, continue.
Yes. We talked about what we do annually or semi-annually or every once in a while we go out and take tours of parks. I don't know if there's any interest with the commission in terms of doing another goals session. I don't know if any of us can even remember the goals that we set last year. But sometimes, you know, particularly for thinking of things that, you know, that we as commissioners might want to be involved in, it's helpful. But I'm just asking the question. I don't know whether anybody wants to do that or not.
I can add it to as an agenda item for one of the upcoming meetings, and then you can make that determination, make it for possible action, and you can decide whether you want to have a goal setting session.
Okay. I would also ask, you know, Roger, you and I talked about this, if there's a way we can move up the implementation strategies. What this is something that, well, some of you have absolutely no idea, but those of us that have been on the commission for a while, we actually looked through the Parks and Recreation Master Plan, and where there was, you know, I think there were 81 of them listed in terms of strategies to implement the master plan, and we kind of went through and made comments, and some of them, you know, I think would be timely if we ever get back to, you know, looking at subdivisions and that kind of thing. Some was just cleaning up, some probably erroneous. But anyway, I know Vern, at once upon a time, was going to take a look at those and report back to us, and I don't know when he would be able to do that. But I didn't want to lose sight of it because we did spend a lot of time.
Yeah, we've kind of kept it on that no date set category, but we can certainly take a look at that. Looks like the next couple months, if you look at your future agenda items, are kind of full, and I did leave off, I have an item on here that we do need to add, and that would be a discussion on the open meeting law. And I think, you know, just a short little discussion refresher, I guess, basically on this, not to take all day, not to take 2 hours, but, you know, maybe a 20-minute, 30-minute refresher on the open meeting law. And yep, I'd like to add that either in March or April.
That was my last comment, was I thought we kind of left it that we were going to do that, not so much a training session, but more these are the issues that came up,
yep.
How should we have dealt with them? That kind of thing.
Okay.
Thank you.
Commissioner Westergaard.
Just to comment on that, again, if the Board of Supervisors is going to be looking at boards and commissions and so forth, there might be an opportunity, I would think, that they might set something up for many of the boards and commissions to do that together. I don't know if that's a point.
Actually,
I don't know if that's something in the works or not. I just bring that up as far as whether they were going to do it anyway.
I don't know whether there's an intention to, you know, for the district attorney's office to hold, you know, rather lengthy sessions in terms of going through the Open Meeting Act, but I'm more interested in those particular issues that came up with this commission.
Commissioner Wald.
Every other year, the district attorney holds a session and opens it up to every commission, every board, the Board of Supervisors, the newly elected Board of Supervisors, and I know the last two, and staff, and the last one and the one previous to that, it was the only ones to attend were staff and the newly elected Board of Supervisors were the ones to attend. The commissions commissioners and boards don't attend. And that is something, though, that is also going to be looked at within what the city manager is doing for the boards and commissions, is whether or not, you know, we have to make something to that regard mandatory. You know, I know you're all volunteers, but something to that effect, you know, when you go to apply, there was a suggestion whether or not it goes through and is voted through. But when you have your application, saying that you will then attend an open meeting law, because it is becoming an issue. The emails are becoming an issue. The quorums outside of meetings are becoming an issue. You know, there's just many, many issues that are out there.
Also, for anybody that wants to self-educate themselves, they can read NRS Chapter 241. It's not very long. If you read the annotated version, it is quite long. There's a lot of case law out there. There's a lot of open meeting law opinions, a lot of AG opinions. And to be honest, I think that if anybody's going to be on a commission, they should be well-versed in it.
Any other comments? I had one other comment. I just wanted to thank our friends at the Chamber, the In Focus magazine that came out recently. Does a lot of coverage on our parks and recreation, our trails and open space. And as usual, they did a fine job of publicizing what Carson City has to offer. So since that touched directly with us, I wanted to make that known. Appreciation. Any citizen comments? Hearing none, is there an action on adjournment?
So moved.
Second.
Meeting is adjourned. Thank you.